Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg. Celebrating life's legacy. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by First United Methodist Church in downtown Galesburg. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. By RP Lumber, best service, best value. And by Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Now, the WGIL broadcast team of Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, and Jake Miller with Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Sound of the Galesburg marching streaks as we get ready for the final game of the football season here in the spring. And what did Jeff Lamb say? 108 days before the scheduled fall kickoff and the with the Dunlap Eagles. So we'll certainly enjoy this. And Sean, I know you'll enjoy it with Riley playing tonight. And we all just get a special sense of appreciation for this season, given the fact that we are here tonight. And thank you for being with us. Throughout this spring football season, we're certainly hoping to finish on a strong note for these kids and for the program. Let's talk weather. It's certainly part of the story, more so in these six games than I would say normally it would be during the fall. And we'd certainly be talking a lot more heat and conditioning of players in terms of hydrating and those kinds of things. And Jake, I think we talked about it last week. We've been blessed in terms of the weather we've had, and I guess tonight kind of fits in with what else we've had.
Well, yeah, don't jinx me. I left my umbrella in my truck. So, no, it's a good night tonight. A little chillier than normal, but it's not going to be chilly for these guys. Got a little wind heading to the north, but nothing that's going to affect the offense. And here come the streaks, as you can hear the music in their black pants. They're like, I don't know, what do you call that, electric yellow tops, guys?
It's bright.
It is bright, man. It looks sweet, too. And you got the black helmets, and the streaks come out with a lot of energy and ready to go.
Tristan Legay will start again at quarterback for the Silver Streaks. Alex Egyptiaco coming off his biggest offensive night as a running back last season with over 150 yards. He and Kyron Leith in the backfield, Dre Egyptiaco, Cohen Derry at the wideout spot. We may see the Streaks try to throw the ball more tonight. As visiting with Coach Wash yesterday, he was still kicking himself for not throwing the ball deep more in the Moline game a couple of weeks ago. And they took some shots downfield last week. And given with that receiving core, Nolan Carl, Aaron Carl, as tall as they are, Cohen Derry, some big targets out there, Hunter Davina. We may see that become part of the offense here tonight as well. Alleman, meanwhile, starts with those few numbers that they have. They start 10 seniors on the offensive side, only one sophomore, and that's a big right tackle in Charlie Jagusa. We'll talk more about him as the night goes along, and he plays both ways. They've got a freshman who starts on the defensive side and plays quite a bit as a receiver, has done some time at quarterback. That's Chase Stevens. So a lot of senior leadership that the Pioneers are relying on with those few numbers that they have. But these guys have held up well throughout these six games with only 22, 23 kids on the roster, most of them having to play both ways, both sides of the ball, for pretty much the entire game and have done so now for six games. And I won't say they've done it entirely injury-free, but they have held up very, very well And the Silver Streaks, it's going to be a battle up front. Certainly been an advantage that Galesburg has enjoyed throughout the five games this season, what the strength of their line has done. But that is certainly a strength, and I know we were talking about it with what you guys saw on film. As we're kicked off, we're underway. The ball lands short at the 14-yard line and then picked up there by Ryan Dockery-Jackson, who doesn't have much of a return. Alleman will have it just across the 20-yard line to get this game started.
Boy, that kickoff, I mean, it was nice that they let it drop, because as soon as you never know what a kickoff's going to do. It could kick and roll. It could do whatever. It just sat up like one of Jake's nine irons.
Lots of backspin. Lots of backspin.
Just sat pretty right next to the pin, didn't it?
That's it.
Yep.
Usually.
Zach Carpita, a senior. The running backs, Caden Bowden and Jack Padding, also seniors. Padding, the leading rusher on the team this season. They'll throw a slot receiver out. They'll throw a straight wide out. But otherwise, it's the two backs lined up under center. And Carpita hands off on the first man through. Mm. And that goes to Padding with a big run right up the middle. And that's what that offensive line has done for the Pioneers throughout this season. And they pick up a first down on the first play.
One thing we all about was that Alleman has just a propensity for being higher off the football. Like, their offensive line gets a first step in before the defense reacts. And it doesn't look like this year's squad is any different.
Carpita comes into the game. They don't throw a lot, obviously, as we've talked about, as they keep the ball on the ground to the left side. And a gain of about five on first down, up to the 44 or so before Padding is stopped there.
Two simple dives right in a row, just give. Mm-hmm. They did carry out a fake this way, an option fake toward the streak sideline here. But, they have the first play, dive, first down, second play, dive. Now they're looking at second and two, or second and five, sorry.
One of the few teams we see in the Western Big Six that actually huddles, and that, you know, goes to the numbers that they have. They kind of want to slow things down.
They have to.
Padding averages 4 yards a carry.
Ball.
And now a fumble as Carpita scoops it up and then just falls back at the 34-yard line, slides down to prevent a bigger loss on the play. So he loses the five that Padding picked up on the run previously, and now it's third and 10.
Yeah, the old quarterback-center exchange. Another thing we don't see a lot of is quarterbacks under center. And Alleman's going to be under center most of the night. They will get into the gun, judging by the film. But under center on a cold night, sometimes you get a pinky jammed, and Carpita's trying to pull out that jammed finger now. Here they are in the gun.
Silver Streaks defensively have held the opposition to 47%. And now they've got this one stuffed if they can keep it contained. And a nice wrap-up tackle after the toss play made at the 36-yard line. The play went to Stevens, the freshman. And it was Mikey Eicher who made the stop, wrapped him up for a gain of just three.
Yeah, Mikey was there in his face. Came up, made a nice play in the perimeter there, scraping hard, making sure the guy did not get outside of him. Nice tackle. Here we are on our 4th and 8. Back to punt.
Wind with the punter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's breezy. You know more than we do up here, Jake.
Yeah, in a little bit.
Carpita, the quarterback, is also the punter, and he gets off a good one, and the Streaks just have to fair catch it at the 28-yard line. Nothing fancy about it.
Nope.
Just got it up in the air. The coverage got downfield, and all Rakeem could do was just fair catch it. Streaks will have it at the 28, first offensive possession of the night. 9:20 to go, opening quarter.
So I was watching from their punt team to their defense, and I was watching how many guys ran off the field and ran on. The answer is one.
Quarterback.
The answer is one. Exactly right.
And that's why they huddle. They need that time to recover. They're not going to hurry up their offense.
Nope. Try to shorten the game.
Streaks will line up in the eye. And the handoff to Alex Egyptiaco gets to the outside. Good front leading blocker by Kyron Lee.
Oh, no.
Springs up Alex for a few more at the end. And you guys must have seen, there it is, the flag down to the 30.
Well, what Sean's upset about is the official that threw the flag. There was an official right in front, and it was questionable.
But he got his hand behind him. He did.
Yeah, the official right in front doesn't throw that flag. It was official from across the field that did. So, you know, the penalty is probably accurate. And unfortunately, he's going to negate a good first down run.
So where did the hold come in? Because Kyron got out there and did a nice job sealing for Alex to make that little extra run. But where did the hold come in?
What he got his hand on the back of his jersey.
Yeah, it was on Kyron.
It's in his back. Yeah, keep your hands inside and in front.
So that'll take it back to the 20. Negates. I don't know where Alex went out of bounds exactly, but he was pretty close to a first down. They're going to keep it in the hands of Legate, who runs to the outside, gets bumped out of bounds across the 25, maybe the 26-yard line. So he gets six of it back, and it'll be second and about 12 coming up.
Offensive play we didn't see. I don't think we maybe saw that once last week, running triple option again, running the veer. Legate's got a he rides the fullback in, and then he kind of bellied out, and he's got to get down the line of scrimmage, and he can get a few more yards there. But he does cut the sticks down a little bit, makes second down a little more manageable.
Lines up in the gun. Keep it to the left side. Alex trying to find a hole up the middle, finds a small one, falls forward to about the 30. He'll pick up four, and it'll be third and eight. Wasn't much there. Kind of a deliberate run by Alex.
Yeah, just kind of trying to feel his way through.
Yeah, just being patient. It's probably looking at it as an inside zone, just waiting for something to open up and explode through.
Silver Streaks now 50% on the season in third down conversions. This will be third and eight. Just underway in the ballgame, 8:40 to go opening quarter. Alleman punted on its first offensive possession. Streaks trying to avoid a punt by being able to convert on third and eight here. Four wideouts, two to each side. Legate looks left, throws across the middle, high, and through the hands of Cohen Derry, falls incomplete. And Cohen took a shot to the middle when he got his fingers on the ball.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate result usually of a ball high over the middle is your receivers a lot of time are going to take a shot like that, and Cohen sure did. He's a tall target, and that ball up is usually going to be better for him to catch, but over the middle, it's better to get the ball down so they can go down and get it, protect themselves a little bit. So the offense and defense is just kind of trading punts here.
Yep.
Testing the waters, each of them.
Yep.
Jackson and Stevens back for Alleman. Davina gets the punt away. A low line drive sends Steven backwards, and he runs away from it, bouncing at the 37, falls backward. The ball rolls backwards. Back inside the 30 and down at the 27. Streaks coaching staff was trying to convince the referee that one of the Alleman players touched it or the ball touched him, but Pioneers will have it at the 27.
Well, you know, we've seen this happen, right? Raheem picked it up and ran it in. We saw that play work once.
No, well, that's true.
Where the punting team just picks up a ball and runs.
To our extraordinary disadvantage that night.
Yeah,
in our dismay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the consensus among all of us that night was there was nothing about that was correct or even close.
No.
And the fellows from Rock Island who were up in the booth next to us were pretty aghast at the whole situation, too, even though it went their way. All right, first down, Pioneers at their own 27. Handoff left, not much there. Padding stopped almost immediately. He does get up to the 30. Kid's a load.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, they're at 5'9", but 190.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked about testing the waters. They're still looking to pull here. At some point, they're going to pull that and let Carpita run the ball or maybe pitch it out of there. It's an outside veer, that play was, wasn't it, Jake?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think that, Alleman's has got it right now as a designed give, but that certainly is going to be something they come back to.
Going to light up tight end left with one in the slot behind. One slot right as well. That's Jackson going in motion left to right. The pitch play to the backside, and it goes to Jake Matichek, who we thought, and even talking to Coach DePorter on Wednesday, suffered a pretty bad leg injury, but he's out there.
He's out there taped up. He's got heavy tape on that left ankle. My first chance there to call Logan Malloy is getting in there on the tackle. They ran we would have called it like a toss pop out there. It's a toss, but it's not a toss that's designed to go to the outside. It's one to go really off tackle. It's a nice play. Logan Malloy was in there to stop it.
Might remember the name Jake Matichek from basketball. Family's quite involved in baseball, too, if I remember right, too. The
there
pitch to the backside,
there's
and the Streaks make the stop. And Matichek loses a couple on third down, and it brings up fourth and five.
Nice blitz call there. Malloy was able to get through. Jake was talking about him. Opportunity here, and absolutely, senior blitz right through there and make a tackle for a loss.
Yeah, great to watch.
Outstanding.
The loss of two. Fourth and six as we approach the 6.5 minute mark here in this opening quarter of a scoreless game so far. Carpita standing back at his own 17. Rocking Spinks for the streaks at his own 37. High into the air. Rocking backs up, lets it fall at the 36. Takes an Alleman roll backwards 4, 5, 6 yards inside the 30. And they'll down it at the 29 where the streaks take over. Halfway through this opening quarter. It's a punt battle so far. Just one first down in the game combined between the two teams.
Yeah, so let's see what the Silver Streaks do. Usually their second series doesn't look much like their first. We saw some veer. We saw Alex get the ball a couple times. A holding penalty really is what put the Streaks behind the sticks. So without that, maybe we can get some things going.
Right. Keep the penalties. Keep those hankies in their pockets and keep this train rolling.
Out of the gun. Hand off to Alex. Bounces to the outside. Cuts up the middle. Gains a yard where he stopped at the 30. Alleman just closed that all down on the inside, and Alex couldn't find anything open.
And that's the thing with Alleman's defense. They're just so disciplined. Sometimes, you know, other teams that over-pursue, there's a cutback lane, and Alex made a really nice jump cut to try to get outside, but there was an Alleman player staying where he's supposed to be, and he was there to turn that back inside for a gain of one.
Gap integrity.
They are very good at that.
Second and nine streaks from their own 30. Legate back to pass. Good protection going long down the far side of the field. The wind kind of holds that one up. It's a one-on-one battle, and Dre almost pulled it in. And then came the ball falls incomplete. One-on-one battle against Chase Stevens. Junior against a senior on that far side, and a player down for Alleman back in the streaks offensive backfield.
And that's the sophomore that you were talking about early, Charlie Jagusa. He's on his side holding a left knee. He's in a lot of discomfort at this point.
Well, we said the streaks might take a few more shots here tonight. There was one of them, but boy, throwing into that wind.
Yeah, and the ball was wobbly too, so the wind just ate it up.
Yeah, it didn't come out well.
Dre does a nice job. Actually, tries almost came out with it, but he does a nice job being a defender there mostly.
Yeah, I don't know which one of you said it, but it was a jump ball. I mean, it was up there. Both players' feet stopped, and they're just waiting for it to come down and. Be glad that we were able to get an incomplete pass there.
Jagusa up and walking off the field, a little gimpy.
He'll be back.
6'6", 290, sophomore.
Yes. He looks like a football player.
He does.
That's exactly. I mean, that kid's 15, 16 years old. he looks like a bright future ahead of him. He's probably not done growing.
Well, and I got to tell you guys, I mean, I told you I was impressed with what I saw watching some of the video that I was watching. But, I mean, it was he's one of those kids that I felt like my eyes were just going to him every single time. It was just like I was just drawn to what I was watching him do on the line.
He moves extremely well for his size.
I'll see if we'll go after him here.
Yep.
Nope, Streaks are going to throw it. Rolling left. Legate under some pressure. Throws off his back foot. Throws almost complete.
Close.
It is complete at the 40, right at the first down marker.
Should be enough.
As Cohen Derry pulled it in. And a nice job to come back for that one with Legate throwing on the run and give him a chance to make a play.
Good job all the way around of Legate. First of all, just avoiding the rush. And then Cohen Derry coming back, as you said, to the football to make the catch right at the sticks. And we get our first down of the game.
Not even a measurement. That's no surprise, as we've talked about from time to time. Streaks gain 9, just enough. First down to the 39. The drive continues. As we roll under 5 minutes to go here in this opening quarter of a scoreless game.
Tight end right, trips to the left.
They'll run right. Alex trying to bounce to the outside, still running east-west. Runs over a man and falls forward to the 42. Hard 3 yards gained on first down.
Just finishing a run. I think that's the freshman Alleman defender out there at corner.
Chase Stevens?
Yeah, we saw him carry the football once earlier and, you know, for a freshman to be in a varsity football game is a feat in itself. Alex just showing a physical strength there, finishing that run.
Streaks line it up out of the eye now on 2nd and 7. The handoff to Egyptiaku again. Tripped up at the 45, falls forward to the 46. And the Streaks will face 3rd and a long 3 here.
That was a nice play by the inside linebacker.
Mm-hmm. And there they did look to attack that side of the line where Jagusa would have been occupying.
Like a basic ISO play, Fullback leads out to the linebacker. It was a backside linebacker who came in to make the play.
Well, on the other end, or on the other tackle, you've got Rudy Glancy, who's 6'3", 230, so, or 320. So you got Jaguso on one side.
Streaks
keep it up the middle. Cam McGuire with the first down, crossing the 50, moves the pile forward across the 45 to the almost the 43-yard line.
Some fresh legs in there. We saw Cam McGuire last week do this, guys, and he's definitely a bright spot here for the Streaks as he's only a sophomore. And he was able to, as they say, go out the back door. That play is designed to go to the right. He makes a nice jump cut. And he also, for being a smaller back, is tough to bring down.
Yeah, same types of thing we see with the running backs here, like when Alex gets the ball. Just have a motor. Keep your feet going. Fall forward.
McGuire had 10 yards on four carries last week. He picked up 10 on that one alone. Now Damian Thomas trying to get to the outside, dives forward, knocked out of bounds. The Alleman sideline, but he'll pick up a good six on first down. Thomas didn't carry the ball at all last week, but he gets a good gain here on his first attempt of the night.
C.J. Terranez was beat to the outside, but he kept going and just kept pushing our running back towards the sideline. He wanted to turn the corner, but Terranez does a pretty good job of getting him to the sideline there.
Yeah, and the advantage of having somebody string a play like that out, we had the space.
Mm-hmm.
But the outside linebacker or whomever it was, corner that was out there, strung it out enough so the interior players can come and make a play.
Second and three Streaks from the Alleman 37-yard line. Play fake. Under pressure, LeGate uses the referee behind him to shield and then throws it incomplete up to the 35-yard line.
He did, too. He used the referee as a good little extra blocker out there. Alleman did not bite on the play fake, as we've seen so many teams do. Our play-action passes are always wide open for our quarterbacks, have been all season. But, again, the discipline of these Pioneers right now proving to be at their advantage.
Yeah, I think that's Tad out there. I don't know Tad's last name as an official. He had the block of the night.
Yep, so far.
Just getting away, occupy space.
Streaks line it up out of the eye on third and three. The toss play to Egyptiaco.
Cut up.
Gets a lead blocker, and then hit. Bounces off a man at the 34, still fighting forward for that extra yard, and he's going to come up just a little bit short.
If we were able to stay in our block in the perimeter, we could have gotten the first down there.
Boy, that was a big hit.
Quite the collision out there, wasn't
it? Sure was. Stood Alex right up. He stayed on his feet, bounced off it, but just completely killed his momentum. It's fourth and one. Streaks are going to go for it, or maybe try to draw Alleman off sides. They're pretty disciplined. We've seen the Streaks do that from time to time successfully, and now they're going to call timeout.
We watched Alleman stem there. That's where we learned that play on a fourth and short. Alleman's defensive line will try to get a nervous Streaks offensive lineman to jump off sides by shifting gaps. That's something the Streaks have done all season, and I'm certain that our guys have been coached up on that because that's where we learned it. Alleman had been doing that for years against us.
Football is sitting at the near hash mark just across the 35-yard line. Streaks have to get it just across the 34 for a first down. So a full yard to go here on fourth and one. First timeout of the night for the Silver Streaks. With 2:40 to go in the opening quarter, scoreless game. Freshman one here tonight, 20-6. And we're keeping an eye on games around the area, specifically that UT Sterling game. And we'll let you know how that one's going as the updates come in on that one.
So we're going to see Alleman, I think, line up in a six-man front here. Looks like it.
Probably going to stem again.
Yeah, they might.
Fourth and one. Hand off to Egyptiaco. Got the first down and then pushed forward from behind to pick up a few more yards at the end of the play. Is that Jordan Payne who helped Alex out at the end of the play?
I believe so. Yeah, yep.
So the Streaks will have it at the 31. He picked up four.
So far, the most sustained, I guess, that we've seen here that of either offense on the field, putting a couple first downs together. But it hasn't been easy.
Certainly the kind of night we anticipated we could see with these two teams, the style of play that they've gone this year.
Well, we're not going to see like what we saw last week.
No, certainly.
36-50. We're not going to see that tonight.
Streaks first down at the Alleman 31. Trying to bounce to the outside. Egyptiaco gets to the 30. Flag comes down from the backside. Alex got the first down and more, then steps out of bounds across the 20, close to the 15-yard line. But the flag down in the Streaks backfield will be a hold call, and it'll come back. And Jake alluded to how the hold killed our first drive after what was the biggest play of the drive, and hopefully that doesn't happen here again. Second holding penalty of the night against the Streaks.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier with the same situation. This time it was a lineman, but you got to keep your hands inside. As soon as that defender separates and you still have a hold of cloth, that's when the officials see it. You got to stay in close, squeeze them tight. That's when you hold them. Once they separate, you got to let go.
So a true 10-yard back pedal to the Pioneer 41-yard line. Exactly 2 minutes to go here in this opening quarter. Both teams 2-3 coming in, trying to finish 500. Streaks trying to snap a three-game losing streak. Out of the shotgun on first and 20. Legate dumps it off. Egyptiaco comes back for it at the 40. Wrapped up and pushed down at the 42-yard line. Andrew Torres got in there and made a true hard stop. And Alex went down quickly. So he only gains about three of it back. It'll be second and 17.
We had blockers out in front, but they got to hit somebody. Guys ran right by a couple blockers and made a play.
I think Andrew Torres was the collision between he and Alex before as well. They're just a sophomore out there and also playing very physical.
Second and 17 Streaks. They'll go too wide to the left. Egyptiaco, the lone backer. Here comes the pass again to the far side. Into the numbers of Aaron Carl and popped free. Ball incomplete. Alleman was chasing it down, thinking it was a live ball, but it was into Aaron's midsection. He never had it. Incomplete. Remember last week, Tristan Legate started, 9 out of 9, I think, in the game?
Just
2 out of 6 here so far for only 12 yards.
And that ball's one that could be caught, but again, Torres there making his contact right as the ball gets into the catch radius, making it a difficult catch.
So if we make that catch, we're not getting, 2 yards out of it?
Yeah,
wouldn't have been much. All right, under pressure. Legate steps off in the pocket, rolling right, and then he'll have to run out of bounds at about the 35-yard line. So he'll pick up three more. But Alleman's defense stiffening up, taking advantage of that holding penalty against the Silver Streaks, and now fourth and 14.
Yeah, it just seems like it's such a cumbersome task tonight to gain any kind of offensive yardage. So a penalty tonight is going to be more amplified, right? I mean, it's just not something that you can overcome. This is an interesting decision with the defensive playing as well as they have. You know, do you kick it and try to pin them deep? Fourth and 15 is certainly no easy task, but they're going to line up to go for it, at least initially.
Are they going to go long? Throwing into the wind, they will go long. Going far side of the field, two receivers there, and then a good job by Alleman. Chase Stevens got the hand in there, batted it loose, intended for Egyptiaco. And that works out better for Alleman than an interception because now they'll have the ball at their own 34-yard line. Streaks give it up on downs.
Yeah, take a shot, right? Take a shot. It's the last game, and they certainly did that, and they went to the playmaker that's been successful in coming down with those. And, you know, on that play right there, Alleman wins the war.
Yeah, the Streaks offense, you know, hitherto has been moving the ball well. It's been the penalties that have killed us. So, like I said earlier, we got to keep those hankies in the officials' pockets because Alleman's going to be disciplined. We're not going to see many penalties on them.
First down from the Alleman 35. Both teams have had two offensive possessions through this first quarter with no score. Out of the gun, Carpita steps up, looking right, pump fakes,
on,
pressure from behind, and Hunter Davina chased him down. The ball cops free, and the official's going to say he's down. The Streaks picked it up, but it looks like they're going to say he was down. Hunter Davina with a tackle for loss back at the 30, maybe the 29-yard line.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be too much argument here on the Streaks sideline either. I think that is the right call. Hunter Davina, they double-teamed on the other side on Aaron Carl. Hunter Davina was able to chase him down.
Yeah, Hunter put a good move on the guy that was blocking him and basically blew right by him. I think the guy tried to be physical with his hands, and Hunter was a little bit more violent with his and got by.
Second and 15, Alleman. Ball sitting just inside the Pioneer 30-yard line. Final 20 seconds of a scoreless first quarter. And Alleman will send three wideouts with one in the slot. Man in motion as Stevens takes the pitch in the backfield. And the Streaks, good pursuit on the far side. And he gets back maybe to the original line of scrimmage. Looks like he'll be down right at the 35-yard line. So he gains the lost yardage back. And it'll be third and 10, one quarter gone. Scoreless game between the Pioneers and the Silver Streaks. Second quarter coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
I'm Pastor Vince Rohn of First United Methodist Church in Galesburg, where we believe in making room for everybody. We do that in person at 120 North Kellogg Street, where we have two different Sunday morning services, classes for all ages, children and youth ministry every week in safe ways. We also do that at firstumcgalesburg.org with worship services and other online opportunities to connect with God and others. Whoever you are, join us on Sunday mornings at 9 or at 10:30 or anytime at firstumcgalesburg.org.
Please join us for the next Bohannon Show as we'll be covering urban unrest, the nation's borders, and also tax fraud. We'll see you here.
Jim Bohannon, tonight after the Silver Streaks on WGIL.
Welcome back to Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium. Scoreless first quarter between the Silver Streaks and the Pioneers. The spotlight game of the night we told you we're going to be watching. Complete opposite up at Sterling. United Township leading at 16-14. After one quarter up at Sterling, both teams scoring twice each in the first quarter. Here, both teams had the ball, two offensive possessions each, no score. And at 16-14, and UT not kicking the ball for any extra points, could be a big, big factor in that game as it's playing out early. All right, third and 10 here for the Pioneers at their own 35-yard line. First play of the second quarter. Streaks showing some pressure at the line of scrimmage. Quarterback keeps it, skips a man at the 40-yard line, falls forward to about the 43, but it'll be a couple of yards short on the quarterback keeper, fourth and two.
Kind of an interesting spot here. I don't know if they're going to punt it or not because I don't think they run a lot of guys out for their punt team, but I certainly think that they're going to go for the first down here. That
you
triple
so?
Option.
Short of the 50?
I think they are. I certainly think they are. They're going to at least try to draw them off sides.
That's what I was going to say.
I think they're going to go for it.
Well, they're lining up to go for it. And Carpita, the quarterback, who's also the punter, comes up under center. And he
fumbled
the ball. And Aaron Carl comes flying in there to make the tackle for loss. And the Streaks are going to take over on downs on the second miscommunication between the center and the quarterback on the snap. And this time the Streaks, even if Holloman recovered it, the Streaks take over on downs, and they've got it in Pioneer territory at the 42.
One of the things I'll say about that is we went to a five front there because it was short yards distance. And when you cover up the center, I've talked about this all season, there's always a chance that when you cover up the center that the center is quick to snap the ball and things because he wants to get his hands up to block. Those exchanges sometimes occur.
I appreciate you recognizing a fumbled snap is usually the center's fault.
I'm just saying it puts pressure on.
And cut off to the right side. Room for Aguirre to run. He gets down to the Alleman 35-yard line before he's brought down. He picks up eight, maybe eight and a half on first down.
Yeah, he's just a different runner. I don't know if he's faster than Alex in a sprint, but he's certainly got a couple quicker steps than Alex and not as powerful in filling his runner, but he's a nice complement to handing the football off.
He gets it and goes.
Yeah.
Alex has a little more patience. He waits for things to open up. Cam just says, give me the ball, I'm going to go. So we have a couple different styles there, and both, I think, could benefit us.
Mm-hmm.
Second and three for the Streaks. Turning around with the direction. Galesburg with the ball at its back now, and three wideouts to the left side stacked up, looking that way, coming back for it. Egyptiaka with a reception to the 30. Got some lead blockers. Skips a tackle at the 20. Cuts back at the 10.
What a move.
Oh, my goodness.
And on his feet for the touchdown.
Goodness.
No flags?
No flags.
What a run by Dre Egyptiaco after the catch.
Yes.
Lots of contact, stayed on his feet, slipped an ankle tackle. He just kept making people miss, and it's a 35-yard touchdown.
There's that train whistle that we love to hear. Get to blow that train whistle. I think on one of those moves, I almost fell over.
The moves he made were ridiculous.
I think my knees buckled, my ankles are giving out. I about fell.
Very impressive.
Streaks a lineup in traditional point after formation for John Wren, leading 6-0. Second play from scrimmage for the Streaks in the second quarter. Wren's kick, plenty of distance. John's a little guy, but he's got a big leg.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. The play, because we were so impressed with what happened afterwards, guys, that was a now screen. They lined up Dre out with three other guys as wide as they possibly could. And he had two lead blockers in front, and he just read them perfectly. They blocked for him perfectly, and then he did the rest.
And it comes after Alleman fumbled the ball, going for it on fourth down in their own territory. So, again, I questioned
you did.
Why they would do that, and it does not pay off. But again, it's easy to second guess when things turn out that way.
Right, a fumbled snap is not something that the coaching staff is banking on. I certainly, you know, that it's been a field position battle all night. And with them being able to flip the field position like that, you can see what the result was.
Well, Allman's probably thinking, too, we'll get a first down here. We'll keep possession of the ball. We'll keep moving it. Really, what they want to do is control the ball. That's what they want to do. They want to have time of possession. They want to have the ball in their hands. And that was evident with the decision to go for it on fourth down.
Well, and again, there was a lot of scoring early in that game last week against Quincy. Most of the scoring done was in the first half, and then it just became a slugfest at the line and a defensive battle the rest of the way, and Allman prevailed when it was all said and done, 16-13. Wren's kick down the middle of the field, a real spinner bouncing at the 14, but another true hop picked up by Stevens on the run, and he advances the ball, runs into the pile at the 30-yard line, which is where the Pioneers will take over.
Nice pop there in the middle. I think it may have been Raheem Spinks, maybe it was in there on that.
Yeah, there was
a couple guys in there.
A bunch.
Yep, Cam McGuire, I think, came out of it as well.
Again, a two-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks. They cover 42 yards in 54 seconds. Aguirre with a 7-yard run, and then the 35-yard reception and run by Dre Egyptiaco. And again, for Dre, only a second touchdown reception of the season. He had a bunch last year, but he's defended a lot more this year as a returning All-Western Big Six Conference receiver. Allman on the ground, not much there. They went left. And it stopped quickly. I think it's going to be padding the last guy up off the bottom of the pile, and he picked up maybe a yard.
Yeah, we had another blitz on. I think what that did was it occupied a blocker that they were hoping that maybe they could have gotten a double team or a pin block somewhere. I don't think anybody pulled, but that blitz really occupied another blocker, so we had our linebackers freed up to play.
Second and 9 Pioneers. Streaks freshman won tonight 20-6. If you're just joining us, Varsity coming off the first score of the night and leading 7-0. And in motion,
reverse.
Running left and right. Yeah, they do go reverse. They get it to Stevens running right to left.
And there's Hunter DeVito.
Little hesitation move on the outside. And, yep, Hunter just hangs right with him, runs him out at about the 36. So they string him out. Stevens picks up 5, and it'll be 3rd and 4.
Backside played that very well. Mikey Eicher was held his ground as well, although he'd given up a little bit of ground because I think he had a couple guys on him. But well played. Anytime as a defensive lineman, you see flow away from you, you just have to wait a split second. Just bounce and see what's happening because you don't want to take off. You're there to check the boot counter reverse, okay? And when you check that it's not there, then you go pursue the ball. Hunter did a good job of staying put. Looking for the reverse come around, and he was in position to make a play.
9:23 to go first half. 7-0 Silver Streaks, 3rd and 4, Allman. 0-for-3 on third down so far. This ball at the 36 and now whistles.
Timeout.
As the Streaks call timeout?
Nope.
No, Allman calls timeout.
Yep. I don't know. Was a play clock running down there, or maybe they just didn't like what they saw in front in terms of the Streaks defense?
But they didn't get all the way up to the line either to get a good look at it. So maybe they just didn't like the play call.
Well, we got a moment here. Sean, want to talk about what's coming up on our last What's Good in Galesburg halftime interview?
Yeah, and I think it's very fitting, too, as we always do. We have Principal Jeff Houston on there to talk about what is happening for the good of GHS. But this week we have Counselor Sarah Larimer on. She is in charge of graduation. So with this year being different with the type of year that we've had, the graduation being here on the field, it's going to be broken up into two groups, but tune in and listen to what she has to say about the overall plans for graduation this year.
I think it's fun to get to talk about some topics at halftime that we normally wouldn't be talking about in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a perfect example of one.
Usually in the fall, I'm talking to Ben Bredemeyer as a counselor. We're talking about college applications and deadlines, and that topic is passed. So we move on to something else.
Coming out of the timeout, 3rd and 4 Pioneers. They go up the middle. It's going to be really close, but I think Allman got it up to the 40-yard line. Just ahead of steam, and the offensive line making a push, and they're going to give Allman the ball without even a measurement. First third down conversion of the night for the Pioneers, ball spotted just across the 40.
Just running the basic triple option offense there to the right. Quarterback makes the right read to give the football, and the fullback gets exactly the yardage he needed.
I'll tell you what, I just watched the replay of that. Jeremiah Morris hit the center really hard. I mean, those are the types of things that we need to have, especially with a shotgun here.
two running backs. Handoff goes left to Matichek. Cuts back up the middle, trying to find some room to run, and the pile pushes him backwards. Matichek will pick up about a yard.
Reed Hawkins there was the primary to kind of create the pile, as if you will, just refusing to give up any yardage there, and he stuck him and was able to stand people up, and his teammates rallied.
Second and nine, just short of the 42, or just across the 42, rather. Under 8.5 minutes to go, first half. Holloman lines it up tight. One wide out to the right is Ryan Dockery Jackson. One in the slot. Streak showing blitz again. Handoff goes left. And good forward progress up to the 45 for a pickup of three more, and it'll be third and six.
Sean, do you see backer blitzes tonight more often than you've seen so far this year? It seems to me like we're extremely active with those two guys.
I agree completely, 100%, because that's one of the things I guess we need to do is to put pressure on them. As disciplined as Allman is with their blocks and identifying where to go, any time that you can mix it up on him is going to help out, as long as we maintain our gap integrity.
Third and six, Pioneers out of the gun. He drops the snap, and the streaks come blasting through, and Jeremiah Morris wraps him up for another tackle for loss.
I'm telling you, Jeremiah Morris is hitting that center every single play, and he blew right by him there.
Sure
and
did.
Again, another result of it's a bad snap. And why is it a bad snap? Because you're getting throttled every play, and you shorten up on your snap. You do things differently because you want to get up to defend yourself. And right now, Jeremiah is just winning that battle, and the team is benefiting because of the bad snaps.
That's the third tackle for loss on Zach Carpita. The last one was on fourth down, so this time they line up to punt. Slow getting it off, but he does get it away.
Ooh.
And Rakeen receives it at the 30-yard line with a fair catch.
What a focus there by Rakeen. Two guys in the space
guys,
on a
right
fair
there.
Catch. And I think the ball came right off of a, right over the Almond's head, right over his helmet. Good focus, stayed on it. Given Galesburg first and 10 from the 30, heading out.
Pioneers come up empty again. They get one first down on the drive. Third punt of the game. Also turned it over on downs once. Streaks with a 7-0 lead take over at their own 30. Just under 7 minutes to go, first half. Out of the gun, a handoff to Aguirre, trying to bounce to the outside, slips a tackle at the 30, skips a man, and then wrapped up and spun around and out just across the 30 to about the 33. Ran a long ways east-west to pick up a short gain.
Yeah, the running backs coaches here, Coach Blackwell, just talking to Cam about trying to get his head in. And, there's a time to bounce it, and then there's a time to get what you can get, right? Not every play. They're all designed to score touchdowns, but not every play not every play is going to do that for you. Sometimes you need to get what you get.
Yeah, our number two receiver there, because we ran it to a two-receiver side, he was set up for an inside cut, and the guy that he was blocking bounced right off and was able to go make the play.
Out of the gun, Legate, rolling right. Good protection. Throws it on the run. Pass complete at the 45-yard line.
Andre.
And then stop immediately right into the numbers of Egyptiaco for a gain of 12 and a first down at the 45-yard line.
We've talked many times with either team as we see these timing cuts, these routes that are timing routes. And that was, as Jake would say, on time and on target.
Yeah, that play was a lot, a lot less eventful than the last ball that went to Dre, but it was certainly well within the system, as they say.
Streak's trying to get into a little offensive rhythm now here. Hand off back on the ground to Alex.
Yep.
Gains four up to the 49, maybe the 48, depending on where the knee came down. Sorry, it was Kyron Leith.
Kyron
Leith. I
guess we can tell by his pink gloves.
That's right.
That'll help us.
Nice. Yeah, Kyron, which was we didn't see much in terms of offensive production last week. They're getting him the football a little bit more tonight. Running the triple again.
Back in the I formation, single tight end to the left.
Keep it on the ground on the play action. Legate rolling right, got some lead blockers, gets to the 50, crosses into Alleman territory, and run down from behind, out of bounds at the 40.
Much better job.
Yeah.
Much better job saying flat down the line of scrimmage that time for Legate. After he pulls the ball out of the fullback's kind of breadbasket there, he was able to gain some yardage getting down the line of scrimmage. I tell you, we were watching, is it Jagusa, the lineman that went out earlier, the
Charlie
sophomore.
Jagusa,
yeah.
Yep.
He just watching him move and chase our quarterback down, he's impressive.
Galesburg 1-for-4 on third downs. This is 3rd and 2 from the Pioneer 48. They keep it on the ground to Leaf, running right. He got a yard. It'll be 4th and 1. Just a stiff defensive front line by the Pioneers.
Yeah. That's Cam McGuire on that carry.
Yep, Cam trying to get in there. Yeah, it was. And he just nothing doing, right? There was just nothing there. So right here, again, the Streaks have a decision to make. They're right at midfield, but I certainly think they're going to stay aggressive. I still like option here because it gives you a couple of different reads. You don't have to just, you know, resign yourself to just one play. Give your quarterback a couple options to make a play here.
I say give it to Kyron. He can get us a yard.
Out of the eye, 4th and 1.
Six-man front. He kept
play it. Fake.
Oh, give it to him.
And he's going to throw it complete to Hunter Davina. First down at the 40.
Great
to the outside
call.
30. Up the far sideline. Cuts back toward the middle of the 20.
Oh, you're not touching him.
No. Hunter's
going to
go all the way. He's got the angle. And he takes it all the way for a 47-yard touchdown.
What a great play. Guys, that was a fantastic play call right there with a six-man front to run that bootleg, get it out to Hunter. When Hunter catches it, this is more often than not the result.
Well, you know, what we showed there was Hunter sat and did a max protect. He sat and blocked, held for a couple seconds, and then just went out to the flat. And at that point, it's almost like a screen without any blockers. And at that point, the Allman linemen were through and just dumped it off to Hunter, and he did the rest.
Got him out in the open field, and he used his moves to keep open and then cut back, had the angle all the way back across the middle of the field for the 47-yard touchdown. Streaks lead 13-0 with the extra point pending.
Take it.
It's good. 14-0. Silver Streaks, 4:55 to go here in the first half. Final game, final home game of the 2020 season on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. By Lox Roofing and Siding Incorporated. Tackle all your home projects with one call to Lox Roofing and Siding. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg. Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Six-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks. Galesburg covers 70 yards in exactly 2 minutes. 47-yard catch and run by Hunter Davina. Extra point by Wren. It's 14-0. Streaks have scored on their last two possessions. Total of 8 plays in less than 3 minutes on those two possessions. So they got things rolling. Legate has completed his last 3 passes. We talked about just a moment ago, getting some offensive rhythm going. And they seem to have it right now, leading by 2 touchdowns with under 5 minutes to play in the half.
Kicking from the right hash here. Have we been doing that, Jake?
No.
Okay.
Line drive kick down the far side of the field, taken on the fly at the 7.
Nice.
And tripped up, a good low tackle made.
Santana Castellano.
And celebrates.
Yeah, should.
As he should.
You know, when Santana's not, Castellano's not a name that we call often, you get an opportunity to get on a special teams, go do something with it. Absolutely. Good job, Santana.
A junior. We'll see him again in the fall. Silver Streaks with the ball at the, I'm sorry, Alleman with the ball at the 20, right between the 27 and 28-yard line, it looks like.
And here's the thing. On the sideline, everybody's just so excited for Santana. So things like that, little things like that, can spark your team.
Streaks are creeping up at the line of scrimmage again.
Absolutely.
And Alleman can't get much trying to run left. They might get a yard out of that as the Streaks continue to be aggressive defensively.
Yeah, a lot of guys in the box. You see safeties coming up. This is where Sean talked about the play-action pass. You got to make sure you pay attention to. But right now, kind of just challenging the fact that there aren't the playmakers that we've seen the last few weeks on Alleman's offense that they can challenge our guys too deep.
Clock rolling under 4:20 to go. Go ahead, Sean.
As we say that, they come out with twins here.
Here they come.
Which one of them, I believe, is Matichek? Or is this padding here? I couldn't tell if it's 32 or 33. Here it comes.
Going to go with the toss play to the right side. Matichek with pursuit from behind.
Yep.
And Aaron Carl will not let go. And takes him down short of the 30 for a short gain of any. And it'll be 3rd and long for the Pioneers. Streaks read it well, defended it well, played it all the way through. It's 3rd and 9.
I don't know if you guys heard me again. I was dad there, so my apologies.
How dare you?
Yelling at four to get off a block and make a play.
So they actually move him back a yard.
Yeah, the ability to string that play out, the inside pursuit was fantastic there.
So third and 10, Pioneers out of the gun. Good snap this time right into the midsection, throwing across the middle, complete, and the catch made at the 45-yard line. And down immediately goes Caleb Scherer, which is all he was out there to do, was just hop up, reel it in, and come down for the completion at the 47. They pick up 20.
Guys should not be open like that over the middle where our free safety should be. A little too soft, I think, on the yardage situation there.
Yeah, I think so. All we've seen them do as far as the passing game tonight is on basically the perimeter. So I think you're right. I think he got lost in the shuffle.
We saw them run similar plays like that in the Quincy game of the video we watched, and Alleman's receivers weren't bringing the catches in. Now rolling right, Carpita under pressure, gets the pass away. He's hit, and the completion at the 40-yard line of the Silver Streaks brought into the numbers of Jake Matichek and stepped out of bounds as soon as he had it.
I would bet my house that Jake Matichek was not the intended receiver on that pass play, but he certainly came down with it, made a nice play. He was trying to go deep. I think his arm got hit. Nice play there for Alleman.
Gain of 14.
Some fans in front of us didn't think he got in, but as I look at it here, he got one foot down. Maybe two, but in high school you only need one.
So first down, Alleman on back-to-back pass plays. Down to the Silver Streaks, 39-yard line, and they'll keep it in the gun. A play fake up the middle, and nowhere to go for Carpita. And he's brought down in the backfield for a loss.
That was the pressure. We had blitz there again. That was Malloy coming in,
Logan
causing him
in.
to be quick with what he needs to do, and the Hunter was able to pursue down the line and make the sack. So, that was a run play, so it would be a tackle for a loss. I think that was a designed quarterback keep. I wonder if they pulled on that block. They did.
Quarterback counter.
Yep, they had the big 74 pulling on that play.
Five carries.
Yep.
Five carries for Zach Carpita, the quarterback. Four for loss. Second and 13. Under 3 minutes to go for the half. Streaks lead by two touchdowns. Under pressure, throwing off his back foot.
No good.
And a good defensive job by Mikey Eicher across the middle. Malloy again with a catch. The ball came right into the numbers. And Malloy got in there and batted it loose from the backside to prevent the completion. It's third and 13.
Have a game, Logan Malloy.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure there up the middle from the interior. Jeremiah was in there. I think Reed Hawkins, too. And listen, if we get Alleman into doing this and throwing the ball, that's not something they're going to be too comfortable doing tonight. So it would be probably a lot of success here for Galesburg.
Third and 13. Alleman just converted on third down a moment ago. And now they'll take a timeout here. Second of the half with 2:47 to go.
Important for the Streaks to make a stop here, as it would be any time, but especially getting the ball back after the halftime, right? We kicked off first. That means the Streaks get one back here and a chance to really kind of put some distance here between them and Alleman.
Absolutely. Get a stop here, get the ball back. We've shown big plays, and this is what Coach Washabaugh was talking about. The fact that he was upset for not taking longer, or the shot plays the past couple weeks. So here we are. If we are able to get the ball back, we're at 2:47 left in the half. We will see some of those big plays and get the ball out to our playmakers. We saw what Dre Gypsyaku can do in an open field. We saw what Hunter Davina could do. And we have two other big receivers, Aaron Carl and Cohen Derry. So we have the bodies to get the ball to. We just need a big stop here. Third and about 13, 14 to go.
Checking around the Western Big Six, Rock Island leading Quincy 7-0 after one quarter. United Township up on Sterling 22-20 in the about 5.5 minutes to go in the first half there. Farmington leading Elmwood Brimfield 52-0 at halftime. Under pressure, Carpita gets the pass away, complete to Matichek again. Inside the Streaks, 30 down to the 25-yard line. There's a flag down back at the 46-yard line.
I think that's going to be on us for hitting the quarterback.
Personal foul. Roughing the passer.
They're going to get Davina.
So the completion down to the 29-yard line on a big third down conversion for the Pioneers.
I believe that was Aaron Carl looking at the replay. But
Well, Aaron had a bead on him.
Yeah,
I don't know when he got him.
He called it on 45, so I don't know if he got the wrong number, but I heard the official say 45.
Aaron's hit on this replay, Aaron's hit was fine, so maybe it was something that came on the back. I don't know.
Yeah.
If it was on Aaron, it's an awful call.
So the gain of 18 to Mattatech, plus the personal foul penalty, takes it down to the Galesburg 12. Out of the gun, the toss to the right side. Stevens
nice.
Stopped short of the 10 and pushed backwards. Streaks wrapped him up. Rakeem knocked the ball free at the end of the play. And now pushing from Stevens on a Silver Streak defender at the end of the play. No flags come down, though.
That was pretty blatant. That was a two-handed shove. Mm-hmm. Who was it? And Davina? I don't know who it was on or who was two, but we know Stevens did it.
Uh-huh.
And they kept the hankies in their pocket. Rare time you see Allman do that. But they got away with it this time.
And just a freshman, too. So you know Coach Todd DePorter will work on making sure he doesn't allow the emotions to get to him. Second and 9. They keep it on the ground. To the right side, down to the 5-yard line, goes Mattatech again. And that's his biggest carry of the night on the ground. And Alleman gains 6. They can get a first down of the Galesburg 2, but down 2 touchdowns with a minute 20 and counting. They're not interested in first downs unless it's across the goal line here. 3rd and 3. With running backs lined up to each side.
Got
there's
him.
Movement at the line.
On their own game.
Got him at their own game. You're exactly right, Jake.
Yep.
And they are walking backward, not contesting it. So a false start by Alleman. So that moves it from 3rd and 3 back to 3rd and 8. First penalty of the night against the Pioneers. This drive started back at the Alleman 27. And they've used the passing game, which has been a defensive weakness for the Silver Streaks, last in the conference in passing defense, and Alleman has taken advantage of it on this drive.
Yeah, a couple of first downs, I believe, on the pass, hasn't it been?
Yep. 3rd and 8 here from the 10. Under the gun to the left side.
Come on, Damon.
And pushed backwards, stopped short of the 5, was padding.
Yep, Damian met him right in the hole, kept
Alleman
his feet going.
Has to use
yep.
its last time out with
good.
35 seconds to go. So fourth down rather from the 6. Again, they can get a first down at the 2, but now using the Pioneers' final timeout with 35 seconds to go for the half, trailing by 2 touchdowns.
I'm certainly talking to him right now, Sean, about the hard count. I think the hard count is going to be something that Alleman will use right here at a 4th and 4, 4th and 5. But I, you know, we haven't seen Mattatech heavily involved in the offense, but it is obvious that he is their best offensive player. So wherever he is, I would look for the football to end up in his hands one way or another here.
Well, Padding's been running really well, too. I mean,
he
he's been on his frames of him running his option. He's been on it, on those tracks and running right downhill like he's supposed to be. So can they get 4 yards on that play? I don't know. I'm sure we'll be active in our linebackers, too. Somebody will be coming on a blitz. Hopefully we time that up well.
Right now, Mattatech lined up in the wing, padding next to the quarterback in the gun.
With 35 seconds to go. 4th and 4 for the Pioneers from the Galesburg 6.
Mattatech is not covered up right now.
And mm-hmm. the Streaks may have seen that and call their own timeout.
Or is Beckham there? Maybe I didn't see him.
Again, coming up at the half here, 35 seconds away. The final What's Good at Galesburg High School interview with our football season wrapping up tonight, talking with senior counselor, really, because I mean, she's one of our 5 counselors at the high school. Sarah mm-hmm. Larimer oversees all of the senior ceremonies with graduation especially, and that's the main focus tonight. And I'm trying to remember what you and Mr. Houston talked about. I listened to it, and now I can't remember. Was there any kind of construction update? That was a big focus.
There's
last
not
week.
A construction update, no.
Not much to talk about after the big update you guys had last week.
No, and then, you know, the fact that we just had our first week of being remote, and
that's right.
There again, there wasn't much happening at school. But, Mr. Houston, we did our best to try to to shine as much light as we could in the situation.
All right, here we go. Coming out of the Galesburg timeout now. Fourth and four, Alleman from the Galesburg six. Out of the gun, Carpita. Short drop, pass across the middle, incomplete. Intended for Ryan Dockery Jackson on a crossing route. It went right through his hands, and the Streaks defense holds.
He had it. I mean, he had the step. It was a nice move on the inside. It's the type of route that you want to run on a short-distance play. Rakeem let him get cut inside and made a break on the ball, but went right through the receiver's hands. So turnover on downs, and Streaks will take over. 31 seconds to go in the half. We're probably not going to do much here, but you never know.
Yeah, it's not a spot on the football field that you would want to get too crazy with 30 seconds left.
I think Tristan's talking to the official right now.
I mean, honestly, they could take a knee.
Just what I mean.
Alleman has no
timeouts. You don't even risk handing it off here, do you?
I would take a knee.
Take a knee.
Yep.
Leading 14-0 with 31 seconds to go. The Streaks just have to take a snap, and Legate does take a knee. And we'll go to the locker room. Streaks leading by two touchdowns, 14-0, two passing touchdowns. Tristan Legate to Dre Egyptiaco and to Hunter Davina. And Galesburg goes into the locker room 14-0. Stay tuned at the half as Sean's got his interview, as we just talked about, what's good at Galesburg High School. When we come back here, we'll catch up with Streaks head coach Mike Washabaugh, find out what the team discussed in the locker room with the Streaks on top 14-0 on WGIL and WGIL.com.
At RP Lumber, we got you covered. Cabinetry, countertops, flooring, and fixtures. We'll help you pick the products that fit your style to your budget and deliver everything right to your home. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com. RP Lumber. Think twice, call once.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by the UPS store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg, and by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
Right there where that giant tree is, that's where I want the garage. And then I want the sidewalk to wind around where those bushes are.
Need site prep, foundation, or concrete? Call Courtright Construction. They understand how pivotal those beginning tasks are. Give them a call for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
I can't get these headaches to stop.
Could it be your glasses from 8 years ago? And I love you, but you are much too cute for these outdated frames.
Hey!
Just saying, Kehoe has designer frames and the best eye exam available. You're worth it.
When you go to Kehoe, you'll see better after you get the best eye exam available. You'll look better with stylish new glasses, and you'll feel better because any nasty side effects from not seeing will be gone. See, look, and feel your best.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, providing great insurance rates and bundled auto, home, and life policies. Call for the right policy and save money. Cloudy tonight, a chance of showers, overnight low of 43. Could see some showers tomorrow morning, then clearing skies with a high of 59. Clear tomorrow night with a low of 38, and Sunday mostly sunny with a high of 60. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 48 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with the Silver Streaks Halftime Report, brought to you by First United Methodist Church in downtown Galesburg. Find them online at umcgalesburg.org. Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Welcome to the Galesburg Almond Halftime Show. I'm Sean Hickey with this week's segment of Let's Get It to the Desk. As always, I have Principal Houston, but this week's spotlight is on the GHS 2021 graduation. With me tonight, I have GHS Counselor, Ms. Sarah Larimer. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, let's first talk about GHS graduation, the time, location, what day, times, and what will be the location for the graduation this year.
Graduation will be on Sunday, May 30th this year. We have two different plans based on weather and COVID restrictions. Right now, we're planning on having two graduations ceremonies on that Sunday, one at 10 a.m. and one at 2 p.m. They'll be split alphabetically with our seniors, so that A through L is going to be in the morning ceremony and M through Z in the afternoon. And then in the event of inclement weather or COVID restrictions changing, we'll be doing a virtual ceremony like we did last year, except for this year we're going to have all the students come through on that same day, on Sunday, May 30th, and with the schedule in pretty much alphabetical order.
Okay, so you mentioned two graduation times. This is new for this, considering our times. Could you tell our listeners about the decision that was being made for graduating this year? Like, what was the format overall, and how was that decided?
Originally, the plan was going to be to do a virtual graduation like last year, and that decision was made back in February or March. Once that decision was released, what happened was that COVID numbers started to go down, and it seemed like it was a possibility to do an in-person graduation, which was overall what we would want to do if we could do. So once that happened, the administration sent out a survey to seniors, and seniors responded in favor of having an outdoor ceremony. But in order to be able to have them have guests at the ceremony and do that kind of thing, we decided that it would be best to do two different ceremonies so that they could bring their guests with them to watch their ceremony. And each ceremony is going to be exactly the same. There'll be speakers, there'll be the normal script. It'll just be done twice.
Well, I do have a question about the number of tickets coming up here, but you talk about the number of students that we're going to have, and that's going to play into the overall capacity. So when we look at this, how many students are we looking at graduating this year?
We're looking at graduating just over 280 seniors this year.
Okay, so with having 280 seniors and two graduations, how will the overall the tickets work out? How will they get that out to the parents? And how does this compare really to past graduations?
Right now, the tickets that are going to be available to each senior that we can guarantee is two per senior. That is based on the restrictions that have been put in place by the CDC, and it's the same restrictions that the football team is using for the field, so it's a percentage amount. And so that's what we're doing right now. In the past, we have had 8 tickets per senior, with the exception of last year when they got 3 when we did the virtual ceremony.
Okay, good. So is there any indication? This is always a part that the people want to know about, the students and the faculty. So do we have any indication about the faculty speakers or who the student speakers might be for this year, or can you comment on that yet?
Right now, they should have gotten a survey this week that is going to be the top nominees, and the seniors get to vote on who the speakers are going to be. So we should have that information the 1st of May.
Okay, and just to talk more about the student speakers, usually there are 3 speakers that the students will nominate to go up there, and they have themes. So what are the themes of the student speakers?
When the student speakers are chosen, they get together, and somebody does past, somebody does present, and somebody does future. So each of them talks about a different time frame of their lives.
All right, sounds good. Now, typically after graduation, we have this thing that's put on. It's called Project Graduation. It's an all-night lock-in type of deal. We were not able to have that last year due to COVID restrictions, and it's for the same reason this year we're not able to have that. So, but there is a celebration that is planned a little bit after graduation. Can you give us some information about that?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of information besides what's been shared with me, but from my understanding, there's going to be a graduation field night at the stadium, and it will be on the night of graduation from 9 p.m. to midnight, and the students are going to be able to come together outside, socially distanced, and be able to do games and have some fun and snacks and music and just spend time together celebrating their graduation.
In a year that's been not great for seniors, an opportunity for them to get together, and certainly the ability of a graduation to even have it where they're together, although it may be in two groups, it's going to be better that they're going to all be there and listen to everybody speak. Okay, again, that was GHS Counselor Ms. Sarah Larimer with this week's spotlight on the 2021 GH graduation. Ms. Larimer, thank you for your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now let's talk with GHS Principal Mr. Jeff Houston. Mr. Houston, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me again on this last week.
Very good. So tell us a little bit about the events of this week and what we have coming up next week.
Well, this last week, a couple things that took place, Sean, was we had our virtual parent-teacher conference night, and it's something that we've started, and it's kind of nice in some ways. You may agree that the parents don't have to leave their homes as long as they have some technology and can get online with teachers, and we've seen that there's a little bit more participation, I think, because of it. And I guess in the future, if we get the opportunity to do both, I think that would be even better for us. So anytime we can get our parents and their stakeholders involved in their kids' education, we feel like that's a win. And then the other thing that happened, as teachers, you guys went through some professional development this week. How'd that go for you?
That was good. We're looking at our curriculum and the hour curriculum for the upcoming years and a new schedule. So it's going to be a long haul, but certainly having that time is nice and really necessary to prepare that work.
Well, yeah, and you hit the nail on the head there with us getting ready to move into a new schedule, with us getting ready to move into a new building, you know, trying to think how we can recreate the high school experience for kids. And so that's a very exciting work that we're taking on. And then one other thing that happened this week that I'm kind of excited about on my other side of my job, that vocational side, was a lot of the area schools, representatives and superintendents got online and were trying to develop a Grow Our Own Teacher program, which is something that, you know, is very needed, you know, the teacher shortage that we're facing right now, the ability to talk with kids, get them to come through our systems, get ready to have some of those experiences within our schools with mentor teachers and then sending them off to get their educational degrees. We have a tendency maybe to get those kids back into our schools, which is always exciting to get our returnees coming back to our building and helping our kids and understanding the climate and culture of our school and our community.
Right, and understanding, too, the fact that we're moving into a new schedule and a new school should be also something that would be like a recruiting tool to get people here. And certainly when you get people who are homegrown, it's always nice to have as well. All right, so tell us a little bit about what's coming up next week. What do we have coming in the days ahead of us?
Well, Sean, you know that right now we're in a reset situation, and so we'll be excited thinking about getting them back the week after next. And then the other thing is we're moving into the scheduling portion of the year where kids are getting ready to build their schedules, and we're trying to look at our numbers and different programs. And so we're real excited to see that process take place, especially here again on the vocational side. We're getting ready to move into a new vocational center, and we've got, you know, our engineering design numbers are up, which we're very excited about. You know, we're going through the reviews of our rosters, making sure that we're getting the right kids in the right programs according to their interest and their hobbies. And so we're going through that process right now to finalize that, and then you as teachers will get to know kind of what you're teaching next year.
All right, sounds good. That's a wrap for this week's halftime show regarding what's good in GHS. Thanks again to GHS Counselor Ms. Sarah Larimer and GHS Principal Mr. Jeff Houston for their time. Coming up next, we'll have halftime stats and second half action against the Almond Pioneers on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Stay connected to what's happening in Galesburg. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
The old Knox County Courthouse in Knoxville has been included in the National Parks Department's National Underground Railroad Network to Freedom program. The announcement was made today after efforts led by historian and Underground Railroad Authority Owen Milder, along with his wife Lori Milder and historian Rex Charrington. The national program exists to commemorate and educate the public about the historical significance of the Underground Railroad. The old courthouse was the site for several legal cases stemming from the 1842 escape of Susan Borders, her three children, and Hannah Morrison, who were held in bondage in southern Illinois. A prosecutor says the Chicago man charged with attempted murder and a road rage shooting that left a toddler critically wounded opened fire on the vehicle even after he was told there was a child inside. At a bond hearing Friday, Cook County Assistant State's Attorney Kevin DeBoney said that DeAndre Binion fired 4 to 5 shots from inside his SUV on April 6th and 4 to 5 shot times more after he climbed out and stood on the roadway. I'm Cameron Line. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg's News.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. A major announcement regarding the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine.
Today, after an extensive review of the available data, the FDA and CDC are lifting the recommended pause on the Johnson & Johnson or Janssen COVID-19 vaccine.
Acting FDA Director Dr. Janet Woodcock saying this evening that the benefits of the J&J vaccine far outweigh its risks.
The FDA and CDC have concluded that the possibility of this so-called thrombosis thrombocytopenia syndrome occurring is very low.
The FDA says resumption of distribution of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine could begin as early as tomorrow. California's Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom says that his state will cease issuing fracking permits by 2024 and will halt all oil drilling by 2045. America is listening to Fox News.
Over.
aren't the walkie-talkies a bit much? Hello?
You didn't say over.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. We want you to know that Bates Collision Center is still here and ready to help if you need us.
And for now, we're offering no contact estimates as well as free vehicle pickup and delivery.
We're doing everything we can to keep you protected and our team at Bates safely working to provide a factory perfect repair guaranteed.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
No matter what your day has in store, life with a Chevy from YEM is just better. It's a beautiful spring day with Jesse J at YEM Chevrolet. Come on out and test drive the new 2021 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab. Comes with your choice of over $7,000 in savings or zero for 72. And check out our family of SUVs like the new 2021 Chevy Equinox with your choice of 18% off or zero for 72 plus rebates. Find out why life with a Chevy is just better. At YEM, North Henderson, Galesburg.
Tax title license stock fee extra with approved credit.
Look at that. Have you ever seen a more beautiful shot? I don't know if there's ever been a more beautiful shot, even with that blasted phone ringing in the background.
Sorry, sir. It's the people.
Yes, this is he. What? I'm being blamed? What about the wall? The wall of tires? And gas prices? That's not my fault either. We help you make sure your vehicle is running properly. Carmark Tire and Auto in Galesburg, where we're treading with excellence. Now that's gripping stuff.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. By Lox Roofing and Siding Incorporated. Tackle all your home projects with one call to Lox Roofing and Siding. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
Staying at home more than you'd like these days? Let RP Lumber help you make your home your happy place with our best service, best value promise. We can set you up with all the tools, hardware, and advice you need to spruce up your space. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Halftime at Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium. Silver Streaks leading Alleman 14-0. Our halftime coaches interview brought to you by YEM Auto Group on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Let's go down to the field. Jake Millers with the head coach.
Hey, Coach, what started out as a defensive struggle there in the first quarter kind of opened up, at least for us, there in the second half. Seems like a concerted effort to go over the top. Is that something that was in the game plan, or is this something Alleman's just showing us that gives us the opportunity?
Yeah, they played about three different fronts, so we were kind of getting a beat on them. You know, those holding penalties buried us on first and 18 after like a 12-yard hitter, and then first and 20, you know. I mean, they're a good team, you know, and you can't give that up. And I feel like that's really where we kind of stubbed our toe there in the first half.
You talked about going over the top, but the scoring play, at least for Dre, was, well, both scoring plays were short passes, and now, like, on the screen game, and now screen to the left and kind of a little screen game out to Hunter. That was one of the better that's one of the better runs I've seen a receiver make for Dre down the left sideline.
Yeah, definitely. We made fun of him. He didn't score on that reverse last week, so he's doing everything he can to get in there. You know, they haven't defended Bunch well for 3 weeks out of the five games, so we saw that on film. And then they're heating up, trying to take away our short yardage. You know, we got one that drive earlier in the time, so we felt like going to that boot was a good call.
Perfect play call. Coach, defensively, I notice also it seems that we're blitzing backers a lot more tonight. Is that with the insertion, I guess, maybe Logan Malloy seems to be very active, and it's nice to see his name called a lot this last game.
Yeah, he's been playing blood backer for our JV team. He's on kickoff return. And that's how Coach Blackwell calls it with him. You know, Damien's been fitting on their tight end, kind of wing side. And then we've been heating him up just a little bit just to get more pressure. Because they're a run-first team, you know. We're just trying to get hat for hat and try to get a little inside pressure.
Okay, Coach, thanks for talking. I'll see you in the second half.
Nice to get a few extra minutes with Coach Wash here.
It was.
Halftime, too. Our halftime show brought to you by First United Methodist Church on the corner of Kellogg and Ferris in downtown Galesburg and online at firstumcgalesburg.org. Let's take a look at our halftime scoreboard brought to you by Courtright Construction in Oneida, the right choice for your next project. Ridgewood leading United 26-16 in the Western Big Six. Sterling has scored 17 consecutive points. They lead United Township 31-22 at the half. And Moline now leading Geneseo 14-0 at half in that game. Our first half statistics brought to you by YEM Auto Group on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Silver Streaks have 62 yards rushing Alex Egyptiaco, 6 carries for 18 yards. Cam McGuire, 4 carries for 21 yards. And Tristan Legate has run it 4 times for 12. Kyron Leith, Damian Thomas each have a carry. Legate, 5 out of 10 passing for 106 yards, including 2 touchdowns. He's completed his last 3 passes, including those 2 catches and runs, one by Egyptiaco that Jake just asked Coach Wash about for 35 yards, and then Hunter Davina scrambling all over the place after his reception, which catapulted him to a 47-yard touchdown. Alleman, meanwhile, streaks have held them to just 48 yards on the ground. Zach Carpita passing 3 out of 5 for 52 yards. Maticek has 2 receptions for 32 yards. Those are your halftime stats. The most important one on the scoreboard, Silver Streaks leading there 14-0, and will have the ball to begin the second half, barring any kind of mishap like we saw at the opening kickoff of the second half when UT squibbed it up the middle and recovered, but then ended up turning it right back on the first play from scrimmage on a turnover. Unlikely to see Alleman do that, but always got to be ready.
If they scouted that, they might see that right now.
They might. So here comes the kick, and they do go deep. Picked up on the run at the 20 by Dre. Cuts up the middle to the 30. A little bit of room to run, trying to find his way through a hole, and Alleman takes him down at the 37-yard line.
Yeah, the hard thing about that, looks like we had a kickoff return to the right.
Yeah.
Would you say, Jake?
We
and
did.
He caught the ball away to the left and was trying to get across the field. Yeah. That's hard to do that. I mean,
it was a little bit of a pooch also, so it was it was the worst case scenario for our return.
But nice starting field position here. We're going to be starting at the 38-yard line, heading out.
Good field position here after a very good first half, right? And Sean talked at halftime, though, with us that, you know, a good first half doesn't really amount to a hill of beans unless you finish this thing here in the second half.
So out of the gun on first down. Legate with a handoff to Alex. Stopped short of the line of scrimmage. Tried to find a hole, and it wasn't there. And looks like where the officials are standing, they're going to allow Alex forward progress back to the line of scrimmage, but he barely got back there.
That's best case scenario.
Yeah, he made a jump cut right into the arms of a couple of defensive linemen.
But that jump cut was necessary to get him back to the line of scrimmage.
Just underway, third quarter, if you're just joining us. Streak scored on their last 2 possessions of the first half, not counting Legate taking a knee for the final play. Swings it to the outside on the pass play, complete there, and a wrap-up skipping out of a tackle across the 40-yard line. And then finally brought down for a gain of about 5 for Cohen Derry. And it'll be third and about middle distance here. Streaks can get close to midfield for a first down here.
That was the same now screen that we ran in the first half to Dre that he scored a touchdown on. Mix it up a little bit, get to different personnel. Require Alleman to cover all of our guys.
Using our basketball players out there in the now screen game.
Good targets, good hands.
Good size.
Good yards.
On third and 5, Legate rolling left, throws short and picking it up by Alex. First down in Alleman territory at the 40. Inside the 35, taken down at the 32-yard line. What a catch by Alex Egyptiaco with the ball underthrown a little bit, and he stuck with it, picked it up, and took off.
Made one guy miss. That was all that needed, and then picked up another 15 yards.
He had fingertips underneath the ball there, picking that up off his shoelaces and able to make a positive gain after the catch. Very athletic play.
Gain of 26. Silver Streaks picking up yards in chunks here through the air tonight. And a first down from the Alleman 32-yard line just underway in the second half. Legate with a play fake. Rolling right, throws on the run into the open territory. Kyron Leith with the completion across the 30. Down to about the 27-yard line.
You know what I liked the most about that play was he caught that maybe at 2 to 3 yard gains, and there's a guy on him. And he turned and lowered his shoulder and ran that guy over.
And the guy on him is now on the sideline taking a knee right now. There's a little, looks to be holding an arm or a hand or something. So he got the bad end of that deal.
It wasn't a violent hit.
No, just
he just
finished his run.
Yeah, he lowered down and ran right through him.
Second and 5 from the Alleman 27. Streaks keep it on the ground. Alex. Mm. Cuts up the middle, comes out of a pile, still on his feet, and then pushed backwards. There was a hole there, but Alex was knocked off balance and was just trying to regain his feet. Had he been able to do it a little quicker, he might have been able to shoot through that hole. And instead, it's only going to be a pickup of, well, apparently none. I thought he might have gotten a yard out of that. It's third and 5.
Well, as soon as he bounced out and tried to get more yards, he reestablished. He lost his forward progress.
Alleman's defensive line is proving to be a real struggle right now for us to handle, but fortunately we've been able to do some things in the throw game to move the football.
Third and five, straight drop back. Here comes the pressure. Legate gets it away to the far side, complete, trying to slip a tackle. Egyptiaco right at the 20-yard line. Taken out right at the sticks. Should be a first down, though. Spotting the ball down at the 21. There they go.
Move the sticks.
Move the chains.
Just eyeballing it.
No timing route there, Jake. We talked about it. It was about a 8-yard out play.
Just 8-yard out.
Timing route by the quarterback. Hit his three steps, delivered, time, on time, on target.
Ball spotted just outside the Alleman 21-yard line. Out of the straight I formation. Hand off to the right.
Yeah, I saw the defense, Jake.
Holds it up again.
Yeah, just a lot of problems there. Penetration kills the option, and there was some penetration that caused a fullback to go off track, caused Legate to pull it, and then he had to bow out, and it was just kind of a – or want to pull it. It was just kind of a messy situation. And right now, again, everything we've made in terms of gains has been in the air in this half. We got to still show the run, but right now, making good gains in the passing game.
Legate 4-for-4 passing on this drive out of the eye. Will stay on the ground, and Alleman will continue to defend it very, very well. Up the middle and nowhere to go. Is that Aguirre that time on the carry?
No, that was
Kyron Leith.
Was that
Kyron
Leith again?
Yep.
It was. All right.
Keep your feet going, Kyron.
Yeah.
So now third and long for the Silver Streaks. Third and a long 9.
Well, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy as these running backs continue to run into giant lines of Alleman defenders. They don't run as hard into that line of scrimmage. I mean, it's just human nature, right? And so we got to try to figure out ways to open things up. I don't see them doing anything terribly complicated scheme-wise. They're just winning the battle in the trenches right now.
Third and 9 Streaks. Ball right at the Alleman 20-yard line.
They're
under
counting.
7.5 minutes. And the Streaks do have to call a timeout.
Back judge was raising his arm, counting it down. Delay of game is not something the Streaks usually have to deal with, as they're typically a no-huddle offense, but they're just taking a little while to try to identify the defensive front, and took a bit to get the play call in.
Streaks took the opening kickoff here in the second half. Drive started at the 37-yard line. They've moved it down to the Alleman 20. This is the 9th play of the drive. Streaks 2-for-2 on third down conversions on this drive after going just 1-of-5 in the first half. Legate 4-for-4 passing, 42 yards, including a 26-yard catch off the shoe tops by Alex Egyptiaco. 26-yard catch and run, as it turned out. Biggest play of the drive. This is 3rd and 9, just outside the Alleman 20, up the 21-yard line. Under 7.5 minutes to go in the third quarter, and the Streaks trying to build on a 14-0 lead.
You know, listen, we're at the point here, we're going to go for it on fourth down.
Yep.
You know, we need 2 plays to get 9 yards.
Gray in man-to-man coverage, lined up to the left. 2 wideouts to the right. Tight end and a single running back. Legate back to pass. Going for Egyptiaco in the near side. He got turned around and then caught it. He got tied up with Chase Stevens in the end zone. And Dre recovered, came back for the catch and the touchdown.
That ball was not well thrown. It was thrown behind. He made a nice adjustment to it. And, we'll take our athlete versus yours. And we won that battle right there. What'd you see, Jake?
Yeah, you're right. It was on accident. That back shoulder throw is sometimes done on purpose. I don't think that's what we did right there, but it definitely was kind of just a back shoulder. Dre was able to come off and make the play, and pretty much undefended. Looks like we got something going on.
Streaks are
going
to go for the 2-point conversion, going man-to-man on the far side to Cohen Derry. He catches it, but he's out of bounds, out the back of the end zone.
It's like we're playing a height game there.
Yep.
Streaks with a burgeoning lead, though, up to 20-0 now. 3 straight scoring possessions going back into the second quarter, and now lead it by 3 touchdowns with 7:19 to go in the third quarter on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You thought winter was rough on you until you saw your driveway. Holy potholes. If you need help in the concrete department, call Courtright Construction. They're concrete craftsmen who have a reputation of exceeding expectations. Give them a call. Courtright Construction, the right choice for your next project.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
for Cardinal baseball tomorrow as the Redbirds take on the Cincinnati Reds. Coverage begins at 12:20.
Catch Cardinal baseball on WGIL.
Silver Streaks open the third quarter with a nine-play scoring drive that covers 63 yards. Streaks take 4 minutes, 41 seconds off the clock. 20-yard touchdown pass, Tristan Legate to Drea Gypsyako. Third touchdown pass of the night for Legate. Second touchdown reception by Dre. And Legate has now completed his last eight passes, including 5 for 5 on that drive and 3 third-down conversions for the Silver Streaks. The kickoff to the far side taken at the 11 by the Pioneers. Stevens runs straight up the field, crosses the 25, runs into the pile, picks up a couple more to finish off the run. And the Pioneers' first possession of the second half, trailing by 3 touchdowns now.
Well, they proved they can move the ball offensively. They certainly did that on their last drive. The Streaks are able to hold them off, but offensively, you know, they move the ball right now the same way the Streaks just did with the passing game.
So we'll see what type of adjustments the Pioneers have made at halftime. This is their first opportunity, the second half here with the ball. We're at 7:13 to go in the third quarter, and this is the first time we get to see their adjustments. That's a good thing for the Streaks.
Again, they were 3 for 5 passing on that last possession of the second quarter that ended inside the Gelsberg 10-yard line before they gave it up on downs. And the first play goes on the ground up the middle for a gain of 4, close to 5 yards. They'll give it right at 4 for Matichek up to the 33.
Sean, it looks like they're walking a safety up into a more of a 4-3 look. Looked like Cam McGuire playing a little bit more of a linebacker spot than a safety spot. You want to check on that?
Yep, they ran a 4-3 practice this week. So you had a 3
is.
There. Yep, Cam and Malloy and Thomas.
They'll keep it on the ground, and it's defended well.
Yep.
As they go back to padding across the middle at the 35 to the 36 for a short gain.
They actually fooled me on that one. I thought the quarterback had it.
Now Aguirre out. We'll run an extra defensive lineman, which will probably indicate going back to the 50 front in a third and short situation.
Padding the leading rusher on the night for the Pioneers. That was his 8th carry for 37 yards. It's 3rd and 2 here. Alleman 2 for 7 on third downs in this game. Out of the gun. Handoff right. Matichek hit right at the first down marker, but it looks like he got enough to get up to the 40 to move the chains.
Yeah, they're certainly not using him as much as I know that they would want to. Matichek, though, gutting it out, heavily taped on that left ankle, and he certainly still is a threat on offense for him. Just not the big play threat, I don't think. I don't think he's going to run away from any of the Streaks defenders, but he's certainly running strong.
Right, he does not have the breakaway speed of which he had before, which is good, but he's still out there gutting it and putting on a good performance tonight.
New set of downs for the Pioneers, running right, and a big run there, and breaking free, padding to the 40, to the Gelsberg 30, a foot race with Rakeem Speaks, who runs him down from behind, but not until padding gets all the way down to the 10-yard line.
Well, the good thing about that nice hustle play by Rakeem is to keep him one out of the end zone. That's an obvious one. But now they're going to have the ball at the 3-yard line going in. They get the stick set here. The clock's going to run. And right now with a 20-point lead, what we need is the clock to run out. So this keeps the points off the board right now. The ball's going to be set here. The clock should be winding. There they go. They're winding it now. And good opportunity just to keep the clock running.
Gain of 57 in the first half. Alleman had only 48 yards on the ground. They go back to Matichek, who finds a hole left side and a touchdown. 3-yard touchdown run for Jake Matichek. First touchdown of the night for the Pioneers, so they answer quickly. Biggest play of the night for either team, a 57-yard run by Jack Padding, sets up the touchdown on the next play by Matichek with 5:14 to go in the third quarter. And the Streaks jump off sides. So that'll move it a yard and a half closer for the extra point attempt.
It's weird to see it jump off sides on a PAT.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if, with especially so many guys did it, there's usually not a snap call. You know, they're just going on the move of the football.
Right.
So I don't.
And usually you see it on the perimeter, the guys on the edge. We had two guys on the interior line who who went offsides there.
So I wonder if the football was moved or I don't know.
And the Streaks do it again. But they snap it away. The kick is up.
No good.
And miss left.
So they're going to take the penalty on the kickoff, which is an option for Alleman to do. They didn't take the penalty on the PAT. Maybe they're wishing that they did scoot up and run for two now that they've missed the PAT. But they're going to take the penalty on the kickoff, so they'll kick off 5 yards closer to the Streaks end zone.
You know, we talked about what Alleman was going to do out of halftime. They pounded the ball off tackle there is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Manichek had a couple big runs for it. Of course, the big run came up the middle. We had him bottled up, just didn't finish the play, and he eventually ran out there for 50-plus yards. But now we get an opportunity here to get the ball back. I would be leery of an onside kick or something here, an opportunity.
Especially when you're 5 yards up, it kind of takes away some, it mitigates some of the risk of giving up field position.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's certainly now I heard the coaches in there. They're definitely telling them to keep an eye on that.
Five-play scoring drive. Alleman covers 71 yards in a minute 59. Again, the 57-yard run by Jack Padding, the big play, the 3-yard touchdown run by Matichek finished it off. And after the Silver Streaks went for two after their opening touchdown of the second half, that ends up as a big missed extra point by Alleman to keep it a 14-point lead at 20-6. So they run up, and they kick it short, but in the air, and running up underneath it is Aguirre at the 20, trying to bounce to the outside. He does run to the right side, got some room to run up the far side of the field to the 50, down the far sideline, 40, and pushed out of bounds there. Oh. And you guys called it. That's what you saw that's how they'd set up the run back on the opening kickoff of the second half, and Aguirre did get to that side of the field for the big run back.
The officials are walking in.
There's a penalty
flag. Oh, there's right here in the 50. Yep. Yeah, I didn't see it.
Thrown by this official.
I see it, yep.
Which, I mean, the play was so far away.
Away on the other side of the field, right? The flag's down on the near side here on the Galesburg sideline. That's what Mike Washabaugh's out there wanting to know, too. Block in the back.
At the 50?
With the play way on the other side of the field?
The ball was kicked at the 45, right? So our line was on our 45. So how does a block occur at the 50?
On this side of the field.
Streaks will still get pretty decent field position.
Not bad.
Out of this deal.
38-yard line. 5:04 to go, third quarter, and a 20-6 Silver Streaks lead.
I want to say, isn't that where we started the half? Was it 38?
37. Pretty close, yep.
So put together another drive like what
good
we did
memory.
Before. Yeah, that's about all I'm good for.
In the wishbone here.
Single tight to the right.
Legate comes up under center.
Split.
Play fake. Back to pass, looking for Egyptiaco, looking
separation.
Long. He's got a step on him. Comes up for it, and a jump ball batted loose. It was underthrown a little bit. And Jackson in the cutter out of the cornerback spot was able to get back and recover because Dre had to slow down and wait for the pass a little bit, and it's incomplete.
Yeah, he had separation on him. Nice route.
Just an obvious concerted effort to put the ball up top tonight and take shot plays. And right now the Streaks have been more successful than not getting that done.
Yep. Legate had 8 consecutive pass completions prior to that miss. 2nd and 10, under 5 minutes to go, third quarter. 20-6 is the Silver Streaks lead. They'll line it up out of the eye this time. 2 wideouts to the right side. The handoff to Alex, trying to get to the outside. Now cuts up field and can only get back to the line of scrimmage maybe and back behind the line of scrimmage a little bit for a loss.
I like what we were trying to do there. We had a tight end to the right, and we had twin receivers that side as well. What we had was an overload with an eye, eye back. Instead of a handoff, I'd like to see a toss and just let Alex go.
Yeah, that's
get that
one thing.
Speed to space.
Yeah, well, that's one thing we haven't seen tonight in the run game is a toss. Try to get guys to the outside. Right now, running in between the tackles or even off tackle has not been very successful.
Yeah, 5 carries in the second half for the Silver Streaks for 1 yard total. Back to pass Legate across the middle and nobody there. Closest player in the area was an Alleman D-back, Zach Carpita. And it falls incomplete.
I think Alex was just rerouted a little bit. And so, it looked to me that I think Legate was trying to throw to a spot. And Alex was rerouted just a little bit. He did come open. But he wasn't in the spot like you know, expected him to be at that certain time. That play was open, and it looked a lot like the play the Streaks scored on to open the UT drive.
So 4:13 to go in the third quarter. Silver Streaks scored on their previous three possessions. We'll have to punt here with Davina standing back at his own 17. Good snap. Gets the kick away.
Nice
high. And coming up underneath an Alleman with a fair catch at the 32. A little bit of a juggle. But Stevens was able to haul it in, and the Pioneers take over. So three straight scores by the Streaks to build a three-touchdown lead. Alleman scored in its last possession and holds defensively, trying to get back into this game with 4:06 to go third quarter.
So I want to go back to that offensive pass play there by Tristan. We saw last week in the game at UT, and we all commented about it. We had a pass play with him. I think it was Dre, but it might have been Alex, where he kind of threw it on the line. And we said if he got a little bit more air under it, that would have been in the end zone for a touchdown. And I think that's what he tried to do there, was that last play, get a little more air under it so that the so Alex could run up to it. But he had overthrown it there. So I think what he did was took advice from what the coaching staff said last week and tried to apply it here.
Hand off to the left side. I think they went to Caden Bowden on that for the first, would have been his first carry of the night. Not much. Ran left, picked up a couple.
Off tackle again. That was Riley Hickey on a tackle. He's going to be rolled up there as a strong safety. He's got to play that off tackle because that's what they're really trying to hit that right now.
Second and seven, Pioneers. Tail of the football sitting just across the 35-yard line of the Pioneers. 3:35 to go third quarter. 20-6, the Galesburg lead. Second and seven, Alleman. Out of the gun, Carpita. Good snap, handoff up the middle. And what looked like not much there, Alleman made a five, pick up a five out of it, up to the 40. It'll be third and two.
Third down for the Pioneers.
Bowden again on the carry. So a little change of running back style, as you guys talked about with Aguirre for the Silver Streaks early on, going to him. Different running style from Alex Achipchiako. Bowden's picked up 8 yards on 2 carries. Almost 9. It'll be third and short here. Some movement at the line. Right up the middle to the Pioneers for the first down up to the 44. And then pushed backwards is Bowden, but the Pioneers move the chains. Going to take him all the way up to the 45.
Damon Thomas filled out really well, and that the hole that was there, just a split second late for that first down. But nice play. I mean, we adjusted well to that. They've been really gashing us up in the middle, and Damon came up and made a nice hit there.
New set of downs for the Pioneers at their own 45-yard line. 2.5 minutes to go, third quarter. Out of the gun, Carpita handoff left. They go back to Matichek, found some room to run, wrapped up from behind and taken down, but a first down as it's Javion Beckham who drags him down, but not until he gets to the Silver Streaks 44 for a gain of 11.
Certainly concerning the trend that we're seeing right now, the Streaks unable to move the football on the ground, and Alleman kind of getting going here in the second half, making some adjustments with what they did offensively. Sean talked about them. Their adjustments, Alleman is very good at making those halftime adjustments, and they've been successful here.
First down from the Galesburg 44. They go left again. Matichek, room to run, up to the 35-yard line, and a couple yards short of another first down.
Looking at the replay, that's a basic lead play. All they're doing is they're running two backs, even though they're a shotgun. The lead back is going and kicking out at the end, and the running back is going right off tackle there. So, we had a penalty flag come in.
Unsportsmanlike conduct against the Silver Streaks.
They said 34, which would have been Damian, but I couldn't. Could you hear that, Jake?
Yeah, I think so.
Tad is pretty loud. I was able to hear that through my noise-canceling headphones.
No argument here from the coaching staff.
Yeah, because if somebody's saying something out there with no bigger crowd than is allowed into the pandemic, that stuff's pretty easy to hear, too.
Yeah.
So down to the 15-yard penalty, down to the Galesburg 21-yard line now. Streaks have had some costly penalties here tonight. And a first down, Pioneers from the Streaks 21. Cross from right back up the middle. Bowden again down to the 17-yard line.
Lead left, lead right. Lead left, lead right.
Sorry, that was padding.
Another four more yards.
Down to the Galesburg 17.
Nothing fancy.
Nope. And when Alleman is most successful, it's usually not very fancy.
Yeah, it's always been a boring, usually a very boring but painful situation for us.
Down to a minute to go in the third quarter. Streaks leading by two touchdowns, but Alleman on the move to Matichek again up
nice
the
play.
Middle. And Streaks closed that one down short of the 15-yard line.
Is that Nolan Carl that came out?
That's Nolan Carl, sophomore. Okay, Nolan Carl, in the game.
We put him in. He's in there for what we were talking about earlier where Cam McGuire is playing. So we're back into 4-3. We have three linebackers. Nolan is playing that, I would guess, the will backer, the weak side backer. As they're going to have, and they mentioned the fact that Damian as being the iron backer.
Actually, looks like Nolan's playing for his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Third and six, Alleman. The play
hold on,
fake.
Hold on. Good job.
And stayed in there. He being Carpita. And picks up, it just gets back to the line of scrimmage.
Yep. Jeremiah Morris with the penetration there kind of reached around enough
kinda
to
blew
grab
that play up.
Yeah, grab the jersey. That's what I was saying. Hold on. And get the big old paw out there and grab enough jersey that he wasn't able to get away.
Alleman will not try to run a fourth down play here. The third quarter winds out. They'll take a free timeout of it to figure out what they're going to do. And the fourth quarter coming up from Van Dyke Field. Streaks leading Alleman 20-6 on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on South Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg and by Templeton Roofing. Call Templeton Roofing when your roof matters. Learn more at templetonroofing.com.
At RP Lumber, we got you covered. Cabinetry, countertops, flooring, and fixtures. We'll help you pick the products that fit your style to your budget and deliver everything right to your home. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com. RP Lumber. Think twice, call once.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
20-6 Galesburg, leading Alleman as we get ready to start the fourth quarter. Pioneers facing a fourth and six from the Silver Streaks 16-yard line. Closer to the 17-yard line, I guess. And Alleman, let's see what the Pioneers do coming out of here. I don't believe they'll go for it. We haven't seen any kind of indication. I mean, their kicker missed an extra point.
Oh, yeah, they're going.
The field goal doesn't do them any good here right now, trailing by two touchdowns.
They have shown in this situation that they've relied on Capita to either keep it or roll out or something. So we'll see what they do here.
Carpita had, we talked about at the beginning of the third quarter, was 3-for-5 passing on the drive toward the halftime that took them all the way down to the Galesburg 6 before the drive stalled. They have not attempted a pass yet in the second half. But a passing down potentially here. He's in the gun. Straight drop back on fourth and six.
He's
now tucks it in. Running to the outside. Has a man wide open in open territory on the far side. Stevens goes for the pylon and got the touchdown. Stevens could not have been more wide open inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, he was kind of covered early, and then the defender comes up because Carpito was rolling out, so he was in a bad spot. He had to make a choice. Continue covering the receiver or let Carpita roll out kind of unabated. And that was just a good offensive play call there.
Yeah, well, it's hard to make that decision, but what the defender needs to do is stay with the receiver because you would rather Carpita run the ball than to dump it off over your head I think it was a running back. But
how about Alleman's freshman out there catching a touchdown pass? He's their punt returner. You don't often see that.
He's played some quarterback, too.
Yeah, you don't see that in a Big Six football game very often.
The extra point is good. We've got a one-possession game now. Alleman has scored on the last two possessions and has cut the lead to 20-13 with 11:49 to go in the fourth quarter, and the Streaks offense stalled on its last drive, leading to what Jake talked about there as Alleman was taking over after forcing a punt. The Streaks unable to move the ball offensively, and Alleman has become more effective moving the ball offensively here in the second half and consequently has cut the lead to 7.
Yeah, it's not a good trend. It's not a good trend right now. And getting together offensively on how we're going to run the football, because ultimately Sean talked about running clock. And I don't know that we're consistent enough just yet in the passing game to continuously and consistently move the ball through the air for multiple drives, which is going to take to run this thing down. So got to get something together running the football.
Well, we got a momentum shift. You know, what we saw in the first half was a special teams play, and really I'll go back to what Santana Castellano did on a kickoff team play. On a nice hit, got the sideline excited, got the team excited, and we went out there and we played with a little bit more enthusiasm. Right now we're kind of on our heels, so it's time for a special teams play, something big that's going to get a little spark for us, because we're a little timid right now.
Saw Kane Smith score 6 rushing touchdowns against the Streaks last week.
He's got three
tonight. Sterling leads 31-28 as they kick it on the ground, squib kick, and Riley Hickey scoops it up at the 34-yard line, which is where Galesburg will take over.
Well, he fielded that like an infielder, but he hasn't played baseball since his eighth grade year.
Yeah. What'd you say the score of the UT-Sterling game is?
31-28 Sterling.
Okay. Wow.
Coach Wash said,
yeah,
he was not going to be surprised at all if UT really gave them a great game. So far it has been. Early fourth quarter there. Early fourth quarter here. Silver Streaks take over at their own 34-yard line, leading 20-13. The play fake, handoff, rolling right. Legate still rolling right. Gets back to the 35-yard line where the hole closes, picks up a yard.
Just not able to turn the corner, and that's... You know, it's a product of a little bit of what Alleman's doing. It's a product also of a little bit the way we're coming out of the right read phase of that play.
Yeah, we can't bubble that.
Yeah, it's just sometimes it's hard when non-option teams run the option, and that's what we're seeing a little bit here.
Streaks have 6 rush plays in the second half for 1 yard.
Yeah.
Actually, they gave Legate no gain.
But they kept him in bounds, and the clock's running.
2nd and 10. Alex trying to sweep to the outside. Cuts up field, and then nice tackle made from the legs down low from behind and takes Alex down for a gain of 3 that looked like it was going to go for quite a bit more than that.
Lost his shoe.
There's a lot of space out there, but all the space was east and west. There wasn't much north and south space. Alleman doing a good job of pursuit angles, putting guys in gaps, and making sure tackles.
Here we are now, 3rd and 8. Clock running down and with 10 to go, fourth quarter. Streaks leading 20-13.
Out of the gun. Legate rolling right. Has 2 men open downfield. Tucks it in. Now throws. Intended for Nolan Carl. Thrown high and incomplete out of bounds. Looked like Nolan was open earlier. And then the pass just thrown high. Couldn't bring it in. And the Streaks facing 4th down now. Giving the ball up quickly.
We've seen in games where we've been behind our inability to move the ball or keep the clock running, things like that, offensively. But we have a lead here, and we're still unable to move the stick. So here we are giving the ball back to the Almond Pioneers, who have shown this half that they've been able to move the ball, run the ball very well on us.
So after completing 8 straight passes, Legate has missed his last 3. Streaks started the second half 3-for-3 on 3rd down conversions, are 0 for their last 2. And Davina has to punt it away. Stevens fair catches at the 32-yard line. With 10-12 to go in the game, and Alleman looking to tie it up now.
Mm. Yeah, Uncle Mo has certainly shifted, right? Alleman's got all the momentum here. The Streaks score, you know, right out of the half there, but since then, just nothing doing offensively. Even on that offensive drive, we commented, even on their scoring drive. You know, everything was through the air. Everything was done through the air. We weren't getting much done on the ground. And I don't know. I wonder if we're consistent enough to continue to move the football through the air, because it seems like that's all we can do right now.
Big doubleheader tomorrow, Jake. Your baseball team's playing at home now. You weren't supposed to, and that got changed, right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. As we see power here again to the left.
Yeah, they did pull around that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yes, we were supposed to have a doubleheader at Normal West, but one of the lucky things, the weather doesn't look good down there. They got a lot more snow than we did, so we have a field tarp that can cover up, so we can pretty much guarantee a game as long as it's not raining at the time. So they made the call early today to move that game, and so we're shooting for an 11 a.m. start doubleheader against a what's preseason ranked as a top 25 team, so it should be a good day.
Great win on Wednesday to open your season over Limestone. Matichek rolls right, gets the first down, just enough across the first down marker, up to the 43-yard line for a gain of four, and a first down for the Pioneers.
That's two. You're right, Jake, two plays in a row. They ran power, which is what an equivalent of that is what the UT Panthers were doing last week on us the whole second half.
Yeah, they don't quite have the playmaker that they're giving the ball to, but it's certainly been extremely successful. Allman just continuing to chunk yards and move chains and make their way down the field.
Sixth straight game, Kane Smith has over 200 yards rushing. He's doing it against Sterling tonight. What he's done against everybody else in the conference is Allman keeps it on the ground up to the 49-yard line. This time Jack Padding on the carry, and he'll pick up six more, second and four.
The confidence that UT has developed to play this last, you know, three, 4 weeks is, I mean, it just tells you what that will do to a high school team. They lost two games because UT's used to losing, and they lost games against Quincy and
First game, and
Rock Island. And I would certainly bet on UT if they played those guys now, you know, instead of the first couple games.
In fact, Smith just scored again, and UT has the lead on Sterling. Handoff left here. First down, Pioneers to the Galesburg 45-yard line. Just pounding it against that Galesburg defensive line, and Padding moves the chains down to the Streaks 44. Yeah, Smith, let's see, a 40-yard touchdown run. He's got over 240 yards rushing tonight and four touchdowns. He's run for over 200 yards in all six of their games. First down, Pioneers at the Silver Streaks, 44. After that was a gain of seven, and now a flag drops before Allman can get the snap away. 8:07 to play is where the clock stops here in the fourth quarter.
If that's on Allman, it would only be their second penalty, I think, of the night.
Yep.
Lined up offsides.
Mm. You're right, Jake. They've only had two, and they're both just 5 yards.
Now, the first one mattered. It probably kept them out of the end zone as they were, you know, sitting, what was it, you know, second and three.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And that one was a big one. So, you know, not all penalties are created equal, too, but still, two penalties on a night, pretty typical Allman performance.
First and 15, back near midfield. On the ground again, and there's a stop in the backfield.
Is that Jeremiah?
Hand off to Matichek for a gain of a couple to the 47.
Yeah, Jeremiah seems to be having the most success right now of Streaks defensive linemen, just like you've said all night, just working, just causing problems for that center right now, and that's why they're, you know, not much has been a gap in terms of Allman running the football. It's been all out in C and D gap.
20-13. Silver Streaks lead by a touchdown, under 7:15 to play in the fourth quarter. Allman with a second and 13. From the Galesburg 47 out of the gun. Carpita with protection across the middle. Complete to Matichek inside the 30, down to the 28-yard line, and a flag down at the end of the play.
Yeah, you're going to get a face mask penalty.
Oh, was it? I didn't see that.
On the tackle. He was on his helmet. He was not on the face mask. I think it's not a great call, but his hands were up there. And so we're going to tack on.
So the completion to Matichek of 19 yards, plus the penalty against the Silver Streaks, which they had a big penalty on the Allman drive, a 15-yard unsportsmanlike that allowed Allman to move it right from about the same position here as it's going to move down to the Galesburg 16, down to the 14-yard line.
They've had three big plays over the middle to get first downs. And
not easy catches either that they've made.
Well, but again, here we are in a cover three. That middle should be covered. A guy come into our zone, we should be right there for it, but we've seen that play in the past, too, in previous games.
First down, Pioneers, inside the Galesburg 20. The handoff to Padding, rolling right to the 10. Gain of four. Back pedal. That, by the way, was the first pass attempt of the second half for the Pioneers.
Yeah, they haven't had to.
Nope.
They haven't had to, and they went to their playmaker, Matichek, there, and he's definitely hobbling, man, as you see
is
him running.
Is he still in the game?
Yeah,
that was him coming out.
They just ran him off. But, yeah, he gets in the game and kind of has an impact, and then they got to go rest him, and then they get him back in. And
He's a gamer.
Second and five. Carpita movement. Sets the team in motion. Tosses it to the right side. Stevens bounces off one defender. Going for the pylon. He's got the corner and the touchdown. And an extra point pending to tie the game with 6:11 to play.
Yeah, the officials missed that. They had both running backs kind of moving out at the same time before the ball was snapped.
Stevens' first carry of the second half goes for 9 yards, finishes off the scoring drive of 68 yards, and an extra point pending from Jaime Diaz. The kick is up.
And
it's good, and we are tied at 20 with 6:11 to go in the game, and the Silver Streaks need to put a drive together. Tie ball game. Stay tuned for the final half of the fourth quarter when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's Michelle and Patsy from Bates Collision Center. Storms really bother you, don't they? Since I was a kid, we're part of the team that helps put people's lives back together after the storm. If your vehicle sustains damage, too, that's where Bates Collision Center can help.
We can set up towing in a rental car and work with your insurance company to get your car back to you as quickly as possible with a factory-perfect repair guaranteed.
That means you can focus your energy on more important things like getting your life back to normal.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on South Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg and by Templeton Roofing. Call Templeton Roofing when your roof matters. Learn more at templetonroofing.com.
Tune in for Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays at 2 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Galesburg Silver Streaks from the second quarter to the first possession of the third quarter scored 3 straight times. Now Alleman has answered with 3 straight of their own and a squib kick live ball, and the Streaks have to backpedal, and finally Mikey Eicher picks it up at the 21-yard line and then takes a hit at the end of the play. That ball was on the ground way too long. Too close for comfort.
Hey, you know, we came out of halftime, and we talked actually when we're not on the air, but Jake mentioned the fact that we played half of a good game. We need to come out and need to finish the game. And right now, Alleman has come out and has done a better half, played a much better half than we have. So we're reeling right now, and we need to make sure that we get our feet at us and stop this momentum and get things going our direction.
Split backfield lined up behind Legate. Goes to the handoff to Aguirre across the 25.
That's a good run.
Good squirting run to start off this drive. Gets all the way up to the 29. Picks up 7.
Alleman, the Pioneers have another lineman that's getting up slowly.
Yeah, you got to wonder, all these guys going both ways, and the Streaks have a bunch of guys that do that too. Not as many as Alleman, but, you know, it's the sixth game of the year. I'm not sure conditioning is an issue for Alleman. They're used to it at this point.
Second and 3 to Alex Egyptiaco. Hit and then pushed backwards. No gain and maybe a loss.
Definitely
going to move
loss.
It back to 3rd and 5.
Yep.
He lost 2. Sterling turns UT over at the 10-yard line. Now leads 44-34 over the Panthers and still 11 minutes to go in the game. Here, Silver Streaks in a tie ball game facing 3rd and a long 4 with 5 minutes to play.
Let's go, guys.
Well, they got that bunch out there to the left with only 2 Alleman defenders out there. I'd certainly go right that way. And they do.
Legate looking that direction. He overthrew Dre Egyptiaco. I don't know if he would have been able to get the first down. There were quite a few defenders there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got a touchdown on that before.
Threw a little bit high.
Shaking some people around, shaking bank, and we'd like to take our chances there. But he overthrew it. Ball was too high, unable to make a play. Fourth down. Streaks are lined up for the punt.
So Galesburg does not get a first down and now has to find a way to stop Alleman, which has moved the ball so effectively, and the Streaks are kicking into the wind, but that's pretty much died down. The flag limp on the north end. A high snap. Hunter bats it to himself, drops it, picks it up, somehow gets it away, and shanks it to the right side. And the fact that he got that away at all is a miracle, and Alleman's going to have great field position at the 49 of Galesburg, but it could have been a lot worse.
Mm-hmm. What an athletic play. It's nice to have a good athlete back there as a punter.
Thank goodness he got a good hop of the ball coming off the turf, too.
He turned around and saw three white jerseys in his face. It's amazing what he made out of that. So now got the ball away, punted off, and here they are, 49-yard line going in, Almond Pioneers.
Streak's defense badly needs a turnover. 4:45 to play in the game, tied up. Alleman with the ball, starting this drive on Galesburg's side of the field. The handoff, right side, Matting to the 45, a gain of 4. Amazing what a turnaround we've seen here tonight.
The tale of two halves.
Well, especially after Galesburg came out with the ball at the third quarter and marched it right downfield. Took a 3-touchdown lead. And haven't had a first down since. Second and 7. Just outside the Galesburg 45. On the ground to Matichek, running right. Close to a first down before the pile finally stops moving forward to the 40 and then pushed backwards.
And I tell
you, short.
Alleman would like nothing else but to not give the football back to Galesburg here.
Sure.
Right? They're just going to keep this down, and this is what Alleman does. They've got what looks like it could be their last possession here. The stadium guy trying to pump the crowd up that's left here to get the music going. But certainly, you're right. A turnover here is almost a necessity. As we've not been able to slow down this rushing attack right now.
Yeah, Pioneers are in the driver's seat right now.
Streak's trying to change personnel on the fly on defense. Handoff goes left, padding, gets the first down to the 37-yard line. And the clock will stop with 3:24 to go to move the chains, and then we'll continue to run in a tie ball game. I can remember a few years ago trailing these guys 7-0, and they got the ball back with 8.5 minutes left to go in the game and just did exactly what they're doing right here, obviously on a much shorter field in this situation. And the Streaks never got the ball back. Lost 7-0.
Got an Alleman Pioneer lineman down right now. Looks like he's just dealing with cramping issues.
Padding now, 123 yards on the ground on 15 carries. And again, remarkable what this Alleman team has done with such a short numbered roster. And you guys were commenting on it a moment ago. So many of these guys going both ways by necessity because they just don't have any depth. And they come into this game 2-3, winning last week over Quincy and trying to even their record, and 37 yards away from doing it with 3:24 to go at a tie ball game. They have moved the Silver Streaks up and down the field since the midpoint of the third quarter. And starting this drive at the Galesburg 49, first down. Inside the 40, handoff running left, and the Streaks make that stop. Matichek stood up and pushed back.
Looks
like
the Streaks stayed in the five front, but it looks like they really reduced down as we see our defensive ends, Hunter Davina, in a three-point stance and just trying to make some adjustments to kill that off-tackle play. Good adjustment there. We would gladly bounce Alleman running backs outside if we can get that right now.
Matichek, 17 carries for 58 yards. Second and 9 from the 36. 2:35 and counting in the fourth quarter.
Here's a formation they've had where they've gone over the middle a couple times on a pass play. Yeah.
Three wideouts to the right. Carpita rolling
flat.
Right. Finds it into the opening to Matichek. Complete up the far side of the field. First down close to the 20-yard line before he's finally taken out of bounds. Gain of 15.
We've got a Mark Matichek. That's the guy they're going to. So this time, instead of over the middle, he went right to the flat on an arrow route, and no one was there. And that should be Riley Hickey on the flat coverage.
Matichek, 4 receptions, 66 yards tonight. First down Pioneers at the 22. Carpita, 5 for 7 passing tonight for 85 yards. First down on the ground, up the middle, room to run inside the 14, down to the 11.
I wonder if we think about starting to call timeout ourselves here, guys, you know, to save some clock for our offense? Are we, you know, are it's just something to think about. Are we going to be resigned to just try to bet everything here on a stop and play for overtime. It's got to be something to think about. We have all of our timeouts left.
We have two timeouts left. Oh, we did use one earlier.
We did use one. That's correct.
And they're going to let clock run here and take all the time in the world.
Absolutely.
It'll be under 2 minutes to go when they get this snap away from the 12-yard line on a first down for the Pioneers. 20-20 is the score. Out of the shotgun, the snap comes with a
there
minute 53 to go.
That's a good play.
Stop Jordan made. Matichek up the middle and nowhere to run. In fact, he loses a yard.
And the Streaks do take a timeout.
And they'll have one remaining. So what did you see there, fellas, that made the difference? Where do we get the stop here that's been such a challenge for us throughout most of this second half?
It was a missed block. Yeah, we won an individual battle up front, and right there Jordan Payne was able to penetrate and make something happen.
We did, Jake, we talked about it before in the replay. They did stem our guys, our interior linemen stemmed on that play, so it may have thrown off what their design was for the blocking scheme for the offense, and we were able to penetrate and get the tackle.
1:44 left to go in the game. Tied at 20. Second and 11 Pioneers from outside the Galesburg 13-yard line. Galesburg has called a defensive timeout. The Pioneers have scored on their last three possessions to turn what was all the momentum in the world for Galesburg completely around. And the Pioneers 13 yards away from taking the lead with a minute 44 to play. Out of the Streaks timeout after a defensive stop, second and 11. Carpita in the shotgun with one running back to his right, goes into motion, takes the toss play to the left side.
Good.
Cuts up the field. Streaks make the stop and push him backwards. Might have gotten to the 10-yard line.
You're going to spot him just behind the 10-yard line.
And the clock stops with a minute 36 to go. Did the Streaks use their last timeout?
I believe so.
So it'll be third and 9 for the Pioneers. As they'll spot the ball, yep, just outside the 10. So the Pioneers are 3 out of 4 on third downs in the second half.
So we've seen their place kicker miss a PAT. Are they going to be happy with maybe getting the ball to the center of the field here and kick a field goal?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But he's made two other PATs. If they get in the middle of the field, it's just a little bit longer PAT.
Yeah.
It'd be 7 yards further.
Yeah.
I don't know. As effectively as they've moved the ball until these
last two plays.
Running plays.
Yep.
And Galesburg is out of timeouts.
I really look to them to go to the air here. I know they're going to line up in wishbone. Nope, they're going to be in the gun. Looking for Matichek out in the flat.
With running backs lined up to each side. On the ground to Padding. Running right.
Jordan
penetration
Payne.
And Payne with a stop again at the 10.
They let the play continue. That's weird.
But the clock's going to roll, and it's fourth down, Alleman.
Oh, the white hat is calling him down at that first point of contact.
Does move the ball to the other side of the 10, so it's a gain of about a half a yard. And it's fourth down, Alleman, from inside the Galesburg 10.
They are going to let this run down here, Sean.
Well, at this point, their best bet is to go for a field goal, don't you think?
The ball's sitting right in the middle of the field.
Yes. I mean, you got fourth and eight. Ball sitting in the middle of the field. This makes for a 27-yard field goal from right where it's at.
And Diaz has the leg for this. Again, he missed the first extra point attempt of the night, which, of course, is looming huge right now because the Streaks went for two and didn't get one, and they missed an extra point. Part of the reason why we're in a tie ball game. And he did miss one left earlier. So a timeout here by the Pioneers with 44 seconds to go.
Here comes number 3 out in the field. See,
so
Diaz
right.
He has it in his hand.
Yeah, you were right. They were resigned to get that ball in the middle of the field and put it in the kicker's hands or his foot.
And the Streaks out of timeouts. So if he doesn't make it, Alleman is, I mean, it's as safe as a,
right.
it's a call as they can make to, yeah. Yeah, to
they're go either going to win or it's going to be an overtime situation here, I think.
So the ball will be placed at the 16-yard line where the snap is made.
Where do we bring in pressure, Jake? We come in from the left or we come from the right? Defensive left or defensive right?
I call the defensive left.
I think so, too.
Streaks have blocked two extra-point kicks. The kick is up. It's got the distance, and it's good. Inside the left upright, and Alleman takes a three-point lead with just under 39 seconds to play. Twenty-three straight points by the Pioneers here all in the second half. And the Streaks, without any timeouts, need something special on the kickoff, and Alleman's not going to allow them to run any kind of play back.
No, they'll do kicks like they've done the last two. Just kind of squib it to our second row guys. Hope it takes a bad bounce on him. Hopefully the kick is too hot and it goes out of bounds.
Yeah, take no time off the clock. So let's see how the Streak special teams line up here. Aguirre is deep. Dre Egyptiaku is deep. Mikey Eicher and Raheem Spinks are up. The Streak's front five.
That's our normal personnel.
Yep. I don't think see anything special there. So let's see what Diaz does on the kickoff here from the 40. How does Alleman choose to play this? Are they going to kick it high and short? Are they going to squib it up the middle?
Yeah, kick it harder up the middle. Low.
That's what I would think. Diaz with the run-up. There it is, across the middle, scooped up by Riley Hickey at the 31. Running to the outside, misses, makes one man miss to the 40, up the near side to the 50, and then pushed out of bounds in Alleman territory. Good run back by Riley Hickey up to the Alleman 46-yard line with 30 seconds to go, and the Streaks can take some shots from there.
Good thing he has better speed than I did.
Well, that's a start, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna do it, you got to do this first part right, and so something miraculous still can come, and that's certainly a good start.
Not an easy thing to do to scoop that ball off the turf on a cold night. Did a nice job to pick it up, make some momentum out of it, and the Streaks have it at the 46-yard line, needing to get downfield, at least get in position for a tie down three. Out of the gun. Legate with a three-step drop, looking long down the near sideline. Man open is Carl, and Alleman picks it off.
What a play.
Ryan Dockery-Jackson intercepts it and slides down at the 32-yard line to secure the Pioneers' victory. Aaron Carl was open, and then Dockery-Jackson came back for it and picked it off, and all they will have to do is take a knee with 21 seconds to go. Streaks took a shot, and the ball just hung up too long. So after a 2-0 start this season, the Silver Streaks will finish on a four-game losing streak.
Pioneers call timeout.
And the Pioneers will win their last two. A defensive struggle and a three-point victory over Quincy. And a tremendous comeback in the second half here tonight for what will end up being a three-point victory over the Silver Streaks. When the Streaks last had a season in the fall of 2019, in that 2-7 season of those seven losses, what was it, six of them? One possession or less? And this year's turning out to be much the same thing. A two-touchdown loss last week.
Yeah, we have to find a way to get over that hump. We've been there. Jake and I have as coaches that have teams that are just right there on the cusp of doing something well.
Yep.
Just can't get it.
Just trying to turn the corner.
So they line up Carpita in the gun, and he takes a knee, and that's it. 23-20 will be the final. Stay tuned for the postgame show coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
This is Autumn Cantorini with Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. The most practical thing you can do to avoid wasting your energy dollars is to have your home cooling system cleaned and tuned. With regular seasonal maintenance, your energy bills will be lower and your system will be at lesser risk of expensive repairs. So call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today to ask about our Express Comfort Service membership and get scheduled for your $69 tune-up. Call us at 342-4328. That's 342-4328. Heat.
When you have your crash repaired at Dave's Auto Body, you may qualify for Detail for Life. We will detail your car for free 4 times per year for as long as you own your car. So if you would like us to help take the sting out of an accident,
you better call Dave's.
Right there where that giant tree is, that's where I want the garage. And then I want the sidewalk to wind around where those bushes are.
Need site prep, foundation, or concrete? Call Courtright Construction. They understand how pivotal those beginning tasks are. Give them a call for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Yam Auto Group on North Henderson and Galesburg. Home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yam. By First United Methodist Church in downtown Galesburg. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Bates Collision Center in Galesburg, we take the decision out of collision. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg, you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by RP Lumber, best service, best value. By Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg, celebrating life's legacy. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg, you better call Dave's. And by Kehoe Eye Care, they care for people, not just eyes. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Final stats, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and comments from Streaks head coach Mike Washabaugh. WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with the Silver Streaks postgame show. Brought to you by Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg. Celebrating life's legacy. Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Heartbreakers don't come in much worse form than this one here tonight. Alleman defeats the Galesburg Silver Streaks 23-20. 23 straight points by the Pioneers in the second half, including a field goal with 30 seconds left to win it. Our postgame coaches interview brought to you by RP Lumber. Best service, best value. Let's go down to the field. Jake Miller is with head coach Mike Washabaugh.
Well, Coach, yeah, we were, you know, a heartbreaker, I think, is the appropriate word here. Two and three football teams obviously showing their the ability to be evenly matched, and it comes down to a field goal with about 30 seconds remaining in the football game. It seems like it all turned with the run game, and I guess for whatever reason couldn't get the run game going in the second half, and Alleman obviously did get theirs going.
Yeah, I mean, we came out, I think we put that drive together and got it up to 20. Yeah. And then it was back-to-back three and outs. And then we did get a big chunk on first down and got stuffed on a second and two. And then we had a missed throw on the third and two. Yeah, I mean, it was like three straight three and outs. You know, you can't do that down the stretch.
Coach, I want to give you a chance here, you know, with this game to just talk about, you know, one more time, just this group of kids and what they had to go through this year, and maybe even what, you know, you and your coaches had to go through and in a new unique year, and in 100 and I think they said 180 days or 170 days, you'll be back at it on a Friday night against Dunlap. So, you know, with that quick turnaround, can you just give us a little indication of how these kids are you know, how they handled it and what you guys feel about these guys as they've handled things this year?
Yeah, we bring back 80%+ of our roster. You know, so very excited about that. A lot of young guys playing some big key minutes. You know, it's been quite the journey since school getting shut down in March. We went from Google Meets and, you know, at-home workouts. We were able to fire up in June. Then we got shut down in August. You know, and then we picked up in the fall, got shut down again in November, and then started up again in January, and then finally got the green light for the season. You know, the overlap of basketball, on the front end, and then, you know, the overlap of sports, our kids have handled it well, you know, and some gut-wrenching defeats down the stretch. You know, I'm very, very pleased with the senior leadership, you know, standing up, taking charge of the locker room, you know, and giving it till the end, until that last throw down there, until they kneeled it out.
Yeah, you talk about it just in no time this season were we physically out of a football game, right? Everything came down to one play here, one play there. Just something about, I think, you know, hopefully, like you said, returning 80% of guys next year and taking that final step and turning the corner and getting some of these close games. You know, that last year that was the story too, and this year seems to be the case as well.
Yeah, it seems like the never-ending race to, you know, we always talk about prepare for all opponents, respect all opponents, you know, and then figure out ways to win games. And, you know, I don't feel like it's come down to the same thing every single game. You know, one game it's getting beat by the pass, one game, you know, getting bloodied up a little bit physically there in the second half against UT, and then, you know, they exploited some run game here in the second half here. You know, we were up 20-6 at that point. We got to be able to finish that out.
Coach, on behalf of Sean and Brad and I, you know, win, lose, or draw, you come and talk to us at halftime and after the game. And I just want to tell you guys that, you know, tell you that I appreciate that. I appreciate what you and your staff does on a weekly basis. You know, Sean and I have done it a little bit, and we know what you guys sacrifice and what you guys go through. So just again, on behalf of us and the listeners, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
Yes, thanks as always to Coach Mike Washabaugh, always so generous with his time during the week in preparation for the broadcast as well. We'll take a timeout. Streaks fall to Alleman 23-20. Our postgame statistics, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, all still to come as the postgame show continues on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Earth date present day. Dave's Auto Body repairs an alien shuttlecraft.
Captain Dave, we collided with a Nimzu orbital chariot. Our scanners show your facility surpasses a replicator in vehicular repair.
Dave's crew springs into action, restoring the craft to intergalactic standards. Commander, we repaired your warp drive and bumpers. There's a lifetime warranty.
Oh, Shimza, Captain Dave.
Dave's Auto Body.
How long is that in light years?
You better call Dave.
Is that candy?
Yes, take some.
Oh, thank the Schwablock.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from Galesburg Nissan. We feature the most dependable and fuel-efficient dream team. Galesburg Nissan is home of the lifetime warranty. No gimmicks, no deductible, and no expensive service requirements. Plus, you get a free loaner car for life if your car needs to be in the shop. And every fifth oil change is free. We want to be your dealer for life, and we'll strive to prove it every day. Galesburg Nissan, home of the lifetime warranty. Check it out now at Galesburg Nissan, where you just can't buy a Nissan for less.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
This week's brought to you by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. Things were looking great for the Silver Streaks early third quarter. Galesburg scored on the last two offensive possessions of the second quarter and the first of the third quarter. And, you know, really one of the most exciting plays we've seen all season was that pass play. What's the play
now
called?
Now screen.
The now screen. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
To Dre Egyptiaco with a couple other wide receivers in front of him as leading blockers. And Dre running all over the field like what? Like a cat on a hot tin roof?
That's exactly what he was doing.
I think that's what it was, yes.
And just making guys miss, got out into the open field, and you guys talk about speed to space, and there wasn't a single straight line in anything Dre did in that catch after the run, turned it into a 35-yard touchdown. And then on the next possession for the Silver Streaks, just under 7 minutes to go, second quarter, it was Tristan Legate to Hunter Davina on the far side of the field, and he got into space and then got all the way to the far sideline and cut back across the middle of the field. That was a 47-yard touchdown, and the Streaks had a 14-0 lead at halftime. Then engineered a 9-play scoring drive to open the third quarter and got another pass play, 20-yard touchdown pass to Dre Egyptiaco, made it 20-0 after the pass failed. And then here came the Pioneers. A 5-play scoring drive set up by a 57-yard run by Jake Padding. Matichek finished it off. The next possession, a 9-play scoring drive, 68 yards. Made it 20-13. Streaks punted, back-to-back punts. Then an 8-play scoring drive that covered 68 yards. Stevens with the final 9 yards to tie it up at 20. And the Streaks punted again, and Alleman had it back with 4:45 to go and put together a 5-6-9 play scoring drive that set up the Jaime Diaz 26-yard field goal with just over 30 seconds left, and the Streaks fell 23-20. So how it all adds up in terms of the numbers, Jack Padding, 18 carries for 137 yards on the ground. Matichek, 18 carries, 57 yards and a touchdown. Chase Stevens, 6 carries for 24 yards and a touchdown. Zach Carpita finished in negative yardage because of the tackles for loss in the first half. 6 carries, minus 9. Caden Bowden carried it 3 times on to jumpstart a scoring drive, and he had 13 yards. Carpita finished the night 5 for 7 passing for 86 yards. Matichek, the leading receiver, 4 of those 5 receptions for 66 yards and a couple big third down conversions to set up 2 of those different scoring drives. For the Silver Streaks, we mentioned at one point Tristan Legate had 8 consecutive pass completions. At that point, he was 11 of 15 for 168 yards. He was 0 for 5 the rest of the night with an interception. Alleman completely shut down the Streaks' running game. Gelsberg had 62 yards rushing in the first half. In the second half, they had, I'm trying to add up my numbers here, 9 yards. 9 yards on the ground in 9 carries. And the longest of the second half was Cam McGuire on a 7-yard run. So really, you look at those other 8 carries, there was only 2 yards total out of that. So McGuire ended up the leading rusher tonight, 5 carries for 28 yards. Alex Egyptiaco, 11 carries for 18 yards. Kyron Leith, 3 carries, 4 yards. Tristan Legate ran it 5 times for 13. Damian Thomas had a 7-yard run. The better numbers, obviously, in the passing game. Dre Egyptiaco had 4 receptions for 73 yards and 2 touchdowns. Hunter Davina had the 47-yard touchdown catch. Alex Egyptiaco, 2 catches for 29. Cohen Derry had 2 receptions for 14. And Kyron Leith had a 5-yard reception. Those are your numbers. 23-20, Alleman wins it. Final thoughts in our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game when we come back to close it out from Van Dyke Field for the final time in this spring football season, up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by the UPS store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg, and by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
Don't let getting your hands on building materials be the thing that keeps you from landing that next big job. RP Lumber has the hardware, tools, and building materials to help you knock out one project after another. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com. RP Lumber, we keep you building.
The more you love someone, the more it hurts to lose them. So as much as we deal with the sadness and grief that comes with loss, we also get the privilege of seeing so much love.
Mark and Tricia Thomas of Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg.
One of the best parts of what we do is hearing the wonderful stories that families share with us.
And if we can take those memories and create a farewell that encompasses all the love and joy and happiness they were a part of,
then we've done our job.
Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg, celebrating life's legacy.
This is Autumn Cantorini with Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. The most practical thing you can do to avoid wasting your energy dollars is to have your home cooling system cleaned and tuned. With regular seasonal maintenance, your energy bills will be lower and your system will be at lesser risk of expensive repairs. So call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today to ask about our Express Comfort Service membership and get scheduled for your $69 tune-up. Call us at 342-4328. That's 342-HEAT.
Get today's local news headlines in your email with the Morning Brief from WGIL News. It's free. Subscribe now at WGIL.com.
Well, in the spotlight game of the Western Big Six, it's going right down to the wire. Who else? Kane Smith blasted off a 63-yard run. UT got down to the 1, got stuffed. Down 4 at Sterling. Sterling used a final timeout, ball still at the 1. Then Smith ran it in, but a penalty called it back, 5 yards. So UT still down 4 with under a minute to go in the game at the Sterling 6, and we're waiting to see what happens next.
That's a second and goal then?
I think it'd be third and goal.
Third and goal.
So let's refresh, and yeah, third and goal from the 5. And UT's taking a timeout with 27 seconds to go, trying to pull off the upset up there. All right, so our Dave's Auto Body crunch time player of the game, and hopefully that one will be over before we close things out here tonight. We've got some candidates tonight, and I don't know that we've really settled on anybody yet. We can talk about Dre with the two touchdown catches.
Right.
That one, as we mentioned just a little bit ago, probably the most exciting play we saw a Silver Streak have all season, with just scrambling all over the place for that first touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go one-on-one in the end zone and fight off the D-back to kick the second touchdown. So that certainly was, and of course it was 20 to nothing at the time. And then we start talking about when crunch time developed and we were waiting for guys to step up. But Jake, I like what you said about the game Jeremiah Morris had tonight.
Yeah, Jeremiah definitely plays a you know, he changed the game on a few plays, especially in the first half. The second half, obviously, things got a little bit tougher sledding for those guys. But, you know, I certainly am on board with, you know, the two most explosive plays of the night were Dre's two touchdown catches and then Hunter Davina making that touchdown catch as well. You know, defensively, not too much that changed the game, especially in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a special play, a special teams play that was a game changer. The best thing there was the, you know, the turnover on downs, essentially, that occurred, which wasn't really a special teams play. Some, you know, good returns and things. But I'm certainly, if you're going to, you know, I think you got to go with Dre Gypsyaka one more time, in my opinion.
You know, I'm a defensive guy, and so I like what you say about Jeremiah Morris. And we also saw a couple of big-time plays come in from Jordan Payne as well. You know, he came in and made a couple of very nice plays. So a little bias that way on the defensive side. But there again, I mean, the play of the game, it was the play of the game. There's no doubt about it. You know, Allman won the game. Allman won the game in the trenches. Is the reason why Allman had success in the second half running the ball is because they didn't run up the middle. They ran it off tackle. And there was Jeremiah Morris that was blowing things up in the middle, and they had to run away from him because it was not working for them. But really, though, the play of the game comes down to Dre. I mean, that now pass, that screen that he had, the moves he put on moving up the field. And we can't overlook either the guys who are up there blocking for him. I know Aaron Carl was one of them.
Yeah.
The other one I'm guessing would be Cohen Derry. But nice blocking upfield to spring him for that. But certainly his moves for the most electrifying play of the game, and perhaps one of the most electrifying games or plays of the season.
It is, for what I saw from either team. That was it. That was the play of the year for me.
All right, so Dre Gypsyaka, or Dave's Auto Body crunch time player of the game to wrap up this 6-game season. I will tell you that UT has a 5-yard touchdown pass to take the lead over Sterling.
A pass
with 23 seconds left. So Gideon passed it 5 yards. And so 23 seconds left for Sterling, which I think has used its final timeout also. So we've got permission to take it a little past 10 o'clock here, which gives us about a minute just to thank you guys again. Boy, not at all how we wanted this season to end, but we still look at the fact that we got a season. I guess that's what I'm going to try to take out of here with the sting of the defeat here tonight. And guys like Riley and these other seniors who did get to play when it looked through the middle to late January for all the world like there was not going to be a season, even though the IHSA kept saying, well, we're holding it off, and by golly, we got one in. So, fellas, I know it's not what we wanted, but we got it, and I'm just super glad for these kids that they got it too.
All you had to do was look out there, and I was down the field, and I saw the real and raw emotion of those kids walking off the field for the last time. And so to the kids that stuck it out,
yeah,
to those kids that Coach Wash talked about at their senior, you know, speech, and that Coach Turner talked about at halftime, to those kids that honored their commitment and stuck it out, man, you know, kudos to them, and they will, you know, they've earned respect, and they earned the tears that they shed after the ball game, and you know, it's tough to see those kids that I teach in class and that I've watched grow up and along the sideline with us, and so that was, you know, that was a part of it, and that's something that they'll remember, and it's definitely a part of the football experience.
Yeah, you talk about the sting. There's no doubt for those seniors that, that's going to burn. I mean, you had the game in your hands. Mm-hmm. You know, you came down at the start of the third quarter. You go up 20 to nothing. You have all the momentum, and then it's just so how quickly this game can change and how much that momentum could shift. And with the inability to stop that pendulum from swinging Almond's way, we just gave up 23 points straight, and we didn't, I don't think, put up a stop the whole second half, you know, four and out or anything like that. So no turnovers except for our interception there in the last play of the game. So that sting is there. But, you know, as a program, you have to move on. You say, thank you, seniors. We appreciate your time. You go back and you reflect on the season. But now you have the underclassmen who are going to go into a short off season, and they have this in the taste, you know, this bad taste in their mouth. And so what they need to do is use this as motivation. They need to go and get in the weight room and really look to push themselves to get better, bigger, faster, stronger, all those types of things. But Jake and I were talking, and you hit on this earlier too, Brad. You know, we have some of these kids are now going, they're leaving right from here tomorrow to play to start the spring season.
Yep.
And that spring season's been extended into the summer. And when those kids get done and they have to really reset quickly, because if they are football players, they're going to be going back in. And any fall sport is going to be firing it right back up in the summer. So, you know, as excited as they were with this COVID season for so many months to not be able to play, they're certainly getting their money's worth now. And the fact that they are, they're going from one season to the next, they're going to go to the summer and they're going to be hitting the weights, doing all the off-season programs. And before they know it, they're going to be clicking those pads up again in August. And it's going to be a quick turnaround. Hopefully these guys are able to, you know, not get burned out, not be at right. the point where they're tired. But like back to my point is that these juniors, well, they have not a full season to have this bad taste in the mouth. It's going to be a quick turnaround, but hopefully this motivates them to get back in the weight room. And they have a nice returning class. Coach Washabaugh hit on that. He said, what, 80%
of
the team is returning, and that sounds that just bodes well for the streaks coming in next fall.
Well, you know who else it boded well, having all those seniors? United Township.
They won.
Sterling fumbled the kickoff, and United Township pulled it off.
Look at that.
And they did it all with seniors.
They did. I mean, you can't – I've said it for many years that you win and lose with seniors.
So the streaks fall tonight, end the season 2-4, fellas. It's been a tremendous privilege to have you along, and look forward to doing it again, hopefully in, what did we say, 108 days, something like that.
Yep.
So it'll be here really, really fast. All right, that'll close things out. For Will Stevenson at the downtown studios, for Jake Miller, for Sean Hickey, I'm Brad Benowitz. Thank you for being with us for the 6 games of this pandemic spring season. We'll see you again in August. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.